Stop searching. We've got what you're looking for. Sundays, 3 to 5, The Billy Sunshine Show with Pilar.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. That was a drill in Seoul, South Korea. Streets emptied in a hurry. People dashed for the underground. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice leaves tomorrow for the region to talk about the UN sanctions.
I do hear states saying that they want to be certain that it won't ratchet up conflict. We have no desire to ratchet up conflict either.
The bomb is estimated at less than 1 kiloton. Bottom line, expect North Korea to try to build bigger nukes.
Since their stated purpose is to develop a nuclear deterrent, and a nuclear deterrent is, by definition, one that works, the logic of the situation almost compels them to conduct another test to prove that they really have a bomb that works.
CBS's David Martin at the Pentagon. Former FDA commissioner admits he invested in companies he helped to regulate.
Lester Crawford is expected to plead guilty to 2 counts involving false information he put on financial disclosure forms. Both charges are misdemeanors, which means jail time is highly unlikely. Crawford held stocks in 3 companies regulated by the FDA, Ambrex, PepsiCo, and the food giant Sysco, while falsely reporting that his stocks had been sold.
CBS's Stephanie Lambidakis at the Justice Department. You cannot sneak secret communications for terrorists out of jail, not even if you're their lawyer. That's what flamboyant New York civil rights lawyer Lynn Stewart did for Sheikh Omar Abdel Rahman, planner of the first attack on the World Trade Center.
I think the judge cut Stewart a break because of her age and her health and her expression of remorse and regret and her long history of dedicated work as a defense attorney, which has to have counted for something, but she is lucky to have gotten such a short sentence, and she knows it.
That's CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen. Those were supporters of the lawyer outside after she was sentenced to 28 months. 10 inches of rain hit the Houston-Galveston area, which is only a couple inches higher than the Gulf. 3 people died in the flooding there.
It appears that they're in the back part of the vehicle, and it appears that, you know, they were trying to at least get to the windows of the vehicle.
That's Houston Police Lieutenant Tom Jennings on 2 women who were found drowned in a flooded SUV. Lots of flooding in Houston from that rainstorm. On Wall Street today, the Dow hit a new record high. It closed at 11,980, up about 20 points. CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus.
12,000 is no magical number for Wall Street, but it does give investors a psychological boost. When Wall Street starts breaking records, it boosts investor confidence, and that's good for the overall economy.
Breaking 12,000, she says, just a matter of time. The Nasdaq gained about 6.5 points. Oil prices, $59.94 a barrel, up $1.37. Some folks take Halloween a little far. In Canova, West Virginia, pharmacist Rick Griffin has 2,400 pumpkins in his backyard. Volunteers will help carve all those gourds for Pumpkin House, an attraction for trick-or-treating kids. And 600 more pumpkins are on the way. This is CBS News.
You, playing Texas Hold'em with Mozart, fairies, kings, queens, albino aardvarks, karaoke singing koalas, the Sun City kickball team, wearing flippers, Sasquatch and Nessie holding hands at sunset in the Grand Canyon. Dreams. They can be strange and magical. But if you can't sleep, you can't dream. So ask your doctor about Rosarum, a sleep aid like no other. Approved for adults having trouble falling asleep. Rosarum is the first and only prescription sleep aid that in clinical studies shows no potential for abuse or dependence. So you can get to sleep. And maybe your dreams will get to see you again.
Don't take Rosarum if you're taking Lubox, Fluvoxamine, or have severe liver problems. Avoid taking it with alcohol. Don't drive or operate machinery until you know how you'll react to Rosarum. Rosarum may affect certain hormones. Consult your doctor about how this may affect you, or if you're in insomnia doesn't improve. Take Rosarum right before bed. Side effects may include drowsiness, fatigue, and dizziness. Individual results may vary. Ask your doctor today if Rosarum is right for you. For more information, call 1-877-ROSARUM-1. See our ad in Prevention Magazine or visit Rosarum.com.
Swimming babies, dancing babies, singing babies.
Are you worried your college student is getting blasted more than educated?
Part of National Collegiate Alcohol Awareness Week, posters and seminars on the dangers of drinking too much and reminding students under 21 it's illegal for them to have even one beer. But an expert on health and sports who lectures on campuses, Carolyn Cornelison, paid by beer company Anheuser-Busch, claims the problem's not as bad as most people think.
75% of college students are moderate, infrequent, or non-drinkers.
Yet many college administrators are concerned about heavy drinking. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
it. Tomorrow is 300 million day. It's the day when a newcomer to America will push us over the 300 million population mark. Could be a newborn baby. Could be a legal immigrant. Illegal ones don't count because they aren't all counted. The actual guesstimate time of the milestone is 7:46 in the morning, Eastern Time. Due largely to the high immigrant birth rate, U.S. population is expected to hit 420 million in just 44 years. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
General Motors, a new level of strength, a new level of quality, a new level of confidence. Introducing the GM 100,000-mile warranty. That's 8 brands and 80 models with 100,000 miles or 5 years of limited powertrain coverage. Learn more at GM.com or visit your local GM dealer.
You know when you open a birthday card from Grandma? She's usually good for, what, like $5? Well, now imagine that you have 100 grandmas. It feels like that.
Have you ever gotten out of your car and something catches your eye on the ground? You walk over and find a $5 bill? Okay, now pretend you find a $495 bill next to it. It's just like that.
New GEICO customers report average annual savings of $500 on their car insurance. Discover how it feels and how much you could save. Go to GEICO.com. Simple as that.
General Motors, a new level of strength, a new level of quality, a new level of confidence. Introducing the GM 100,000-mile warranty. That's 8 brands and 80 models with 100,000 miles or 5 years of limited powertrain coverage. Learn more at GM.com or visit your local GM dealer.
It's a beautiful Monday in October, and it's time for another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, originating in San Francisco, up and down the left coast and oozing eastward. We're ready. Or as ready as we can be for this live, unscripted, unrehearsed radio broadcast. We've got an outline of where we're going, and we know when we have to end. The rest, we kind of improvise. On today's program, we are going to take a tour and update you on the various points of light in the axis of evil. In about a half an hour, Dennis McDonough, a fellow at the Center for American Progress, will talk with us about our showdown with Kim Jong-il in Korea. That's North Korea. Next hour, we meet the co-authors of Bleeding Afghanistan. Oh, I guess they weren't part of the Axis. Oh, we'll work in Iran there somewhere. Don't worry. And Chris Tonsing will join us from the Middle East Report. That's where we're going to talk about Iraq, where the situation is deteriorating, particularly over this past weekend. We'll talk about the breakdown there in the Palestinian territories, too, where Israel keeps attacking and Hamas is attacking Fatah. It's a mess. And as usual, in our third hour, we reserve it for your phone calls in the free speech zone. And you can call anytime during the program and join the conversation. Our toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. And you can email me 24/7. My email address is peter@peterbcollins.com. You can also address it to humblehost@peterbcollins.com, and it'll reach me. And just a quick reminder, Wednesday is the day we take the show on the road to the Eureka area. Our friends at KGOE and Dave Berman and the Voter Confidence Committee in Humboldt County are hosting us at the Del Arte Performing Arts Center. We'll be in the auditorium there. Most of the free tickets have been spoken for, but stay tuned locally to KGOE, and we're trying to arrange for some extra tickets in an overflow area. And I'm looking forward to meeting all of you folks up there on Wednesday. And we're going to award that case of wine that we gave to Alice from Humboldt in our first anniversary giveaway. I'll be delivering it personally, and that's one of the reasons I'm going to Eureka, because I couldn't get UPS or anybody else to do it for me. So I hope you will join us if you're in the area, and we're going to devote the entire program Wednesday to issues related to voting and election integrity. And we've got a great lineup of guests, so I hope you will be there either in person if you're in Humboldt County or just listening on the radio the way you usually do. That is Wednesday this week, the 18th of October. Every Monday we kick off the program with a report on how the media did last week. Our partners are the folks at Media Matters for America. They've got a powerful website. I hope you've been there. At mediamatters.org. And we welcome to the program our Media Matters consultant today, Jameson Foser. Oh, yeah. He's a media man. Hello, J-Mo.
Hey, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing great today. How about you?
Good. Good.
I mean, considering the mess that our country is in and all the things that we have to contend with, I do feel pretty good. And part of it is I'm buoyed by the fact, or at least the notion, that Americans have gotten tired of the misdirection and the lack of honesty of the Bush administration. And it appears, for example, that Republicans have given up on the Senate race in Ohio. And Sherrod Brown is charging ahead of Mike DeWine there. So there are some real bright spots on the horizon. I'm still concerned that with the voting issues, that Republicans may be able to peel off a few victories and prevent a change of the guard in the House and or the Senate. But it's going to be a very interesting run for the next 2 weeks.
It certainly is, Peter.
Or actually, we have 3 weeks, right?
3 weeks,
yeah,
yes.
Three weeks until tomorrow. So first up, let's talk about the recent efforts to smear Nancy Pelosi. And in the interest of full disclosure, I know Congresswoman Pelosi. I worked for her as a political consultant on a campaign about 10 years ago. And I have a high regard for her. I have some differences with the way she's operated as speaker, or I mean as a Democratic leader. But some of that has to do with the difficulty of keeping the caucus in line more than her individual policies or politics. Nonetheless, Brett Hume and
Fred Barnes.
Fred Barnes, thank you. Unloaded. We can't tell if that was a coordinated attack. But let's first listen to Brett Hume, Mr. Fair and Balanced, as he introduces a segment where they're going to discuss Nancy Pelosi and her future political fortunes, and he takes a number of editorial swipes at her just in the intro.
Let's talk about this possibility. It seems likely now, in almost all cards, that the Democrats will get control of the House, which will bring us 2 years of Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who is not a popular figure or respected figure nationally. Her behavior will be more visible than ever, more conspicuous than ever. What effect does that have on the possibility of Hillary Clinton being nominated or even or elected in 2008?
Now, this is a trifecta or maybe a quadfecta, because he first injects his opinion about Pelosi, that she's not popular or not respected. Let's start there. First up, the polls show that most Americans don't even know who Nancy Pelosi is.
Right, and the most recent polls show that those who do tend to view her favorably. A CNN poll conducted this month found that 35% had a favorable impression of her, only 26% had an unfavorable impression. That's actually, by the standards of national political figures these days, quite good. That's a 9-point margin on the plus side. And if you compare that to pretty much every other national political figure, President Bush, Dick Cheney, Dennis Hastert, Bill Frist, Don Rumsfeld, Pelosi is significantly more respected than they are. All of those people I just mentioned are have a net negative approval rating, and by a pretty healthy margin. Bush mm-hmm. is up around 55-60% disapprove. So Hume is just wrong. Not only is he wrong, but could you even imagine him saying something like that about President Bush or Dennis Hastert? He said that she's not respected nationally. There's no conceivable way that he would have said that about George Bush, despite the fact that Bush's poll numbers are actually much worse, and there's a great deal of evidence that he's far less respected than Nancy Pelosi is.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting because this is framed around a concession from Fox News that the election is already over and the Democrats have won. I'm not there yet. I'm certainly hopeful, but I think it's interesting that he kind of premises it on that, and then, oh gosh, we're going to have at least 2 years of Speaker Pelosi. Well, on the heels of the longest-running Republican speaker in recent history, who has big negatives and, you know, recently has really bottomed out, it's kind of breathtaking that they would offer this commentary on Pelosi at a time when the Democratic speaker is in so much trouble.
You know, one thing that's interesting is we're seeing a lot of reports like this, people talking about Nancy Pelosi as speaker and and sort of trying to scare people about what she would be like as Speaker. It's interesting to see the media focus solely on her and not consider what could happen if Republicans retain control of the House and or the Senate. If the Republicans keep the Senate, they'll have a new leader. Bill Frist is not going to be around anymore. And we haven't seen anywhere near the kind of scrutiny of potential replacements for him on the Republican side as we've seen of Nancy Pelosi. So it seems that the media is kind of playing along with the Republican efforts to demonize her, and they're not really providing a look at both sides.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I am aware that in many districts, Republicans are running radio and TV commercials that basically try to scare their base with the idea that Nancy Pelosi will become the Speaker. And so for Brit Hume and Fred Barnes to pile on that message point, it's not that surprising.
Sure, and it's not surprising that the Republicans are doing that. That's kind of their job, and that's fine. But when so many news stories just pick up on that cue and run with it and talk about, you know, Nancy Pelosi and whether or not people would like her as Speaker and what she'd be like, and meanwhile nobody's talking about, you know, Mitch McConnell, who could be the Senate Majority Leader if Republicans keep Congress or keep the Senate, and what he would be like, or who might replace Dennis Hastert if Republicans hold on to the House but decide that they don't want to keep him around, given everything that's happened in the last month.
Yeah.
So there's definitely something of a double standard going on there.
Well, and then to tie this to the fortunes of Hillary Rodham Clinton in the presidential race of 08, that again is part of the thematics of Republican messaging right now, is to declare her the front runner and demonize her, kind of the way Hugo Chavez did George W. Bush.
It is, and it was interesting to see Hume make that an issue. I don't know what Nancy Pelosi as House Speaker has to do with Hillary Clinton running for president, other than that they're both women. And I don't know what Hume was getting at there, but he seemed to, I guess, kind of imply that all women are going to be viewed the same. And if Nancy Pelosi is seen as unpopular, naturally people will have the same opinion of Hillary Clinton. That's the only thing I can think of. That's the only plausible explanation I can think of for why he would say what effect this will have on Hillary Clinton and not what effect this will have on whoever the Democratic nominee is.
Well, if you look at these comments from the prism of someone who is trying to move the Republican base, Pelosi is not a big enough figure to scare them, but he started off with that. That is a Republican talking point. And the scariest figure on the national scene to the hardcore right-wing neocon base is Hillary Clinton. So I think it was just an effort to tie them together as kind of this, big Democratic threat. I'm surprised they didn't mention the prospect of impeachment, because that's one of Rove's talking points, too.
You're not suggesting that Fox News host Brit Hume was trying to motivate Republican voters, are you?
Oh, no. And thanks for clarifying that. Jameson Foser, JMO's with us here from Media Matters for America. We're going to take a break and return. We'll talk about the hit that Harry Reid took last week over a real estate deal. And a couple of other things. If we have time, we'll slam Chris Matthews, too, because that's always fun. If you have a comment about what's going on in the media, share it with us now. Lines are open at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372 on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family owned for 30 years, is where partnership works.
Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Post Graduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. It's 22 minutes past the hour as we continue with Jameson J.M.O. Foser from Media Matters for America. Their website is mediamatters.org, and as we mentioned, they monitor the media, and they're doing a great job of helping us sort through the misinformation, disinformation, and outright lies that pop up in the mainstream media in this country. And, J.M.O., let's talk next about the kind of neener-neener approach. Dennis Hastert took a lot of heat over the Foley affair the last few weeks. And Time Magazine surprised a lot of people and came out slamming Senate Minority Leader, the Democrat Harry Reid of Nevada, for a real estate deal where he made about $700,000. And the knock on him is that he didn't properly disclose and report these investments and the handsome return on the property that he owned. And as I read it, it does appear that Reid broke some rules and wasn't fully compliant with the disclosure requirements. But they do seem technical in nature, that essentially he transferred a piece of property he had into a limited partnership or an LLC, and with a partner, they later sold it for a profit. And as you have reviewed this, is that a fair reading of the situation?
It is. It's worth noting that he disclosed the purchase of the property, he disclosed his ownership of the property, he disclosed his sale of the property, and so therefore his profit on the property. So when we say that he may have improperly disclosed this, he disclosed the key elements fully and completely, and as far as we know, accurately. Now, if that transfer, and this is what the Associated Press article that this is based on, and the conservatives that have run with it, what they're saying is that he should have also disclosed that transfer of the property from his personal ownership to this LLC, and maybe he should have, and I think today Reid said that he was going to amend his disclosure filings, and so if he did something wrong, it seems that he's corrected it. If there's a penalty to be paid, I'm sure that the Senate Ethics Committee will do that. It's worth noting that neither the Ethics Committee nor any law enforcement body has said that he's broken any law that they're investigating in any way.
Mm-hmm.
So that's worth keeping in mind, particularly as we have basically a now daily occurrence where we see conservatives getting charged with criminal activity, it seems almost every day, or at least a new investigation opening. So the scale and the scope of what Reid is alleged to have done compared to what's going on with Kurt Weldon or mm-hmm. you know, any number of other people is just not comparable.
Well, and despite the heavy spotlight on Dennis Hastert and his graveyard news conference last week, which is just priceless, Visa should get a hold of that for a commercial. You know, there are a number of scandals swirling around him that I haven't seen the corporate media dive into.
Well, he was
the recipient of nearly $200,000 worth of $99 contributions. $99, so they skirted the reporting requirements. And the theories that have surfaced, and they're only theories because I can't prove where all that money came from, suggest a pretty sinister deal. And then Hastert himself made a couple of million dollars on a piece of property in Illinois that doesn't appear to be as arm's length as the Harry Reid deal.
Right, this is actually a great contrast. This property that Hastert owned in Illinois increased in value enough to make him a $2 million profit only after Hastert took an active role in getting more than $200 million in taxpayer funding for a highway project near the property. By contrast, there's never been any allegation that Reid used his office for personal gain like that. But this Hastert story has gone largely unreported. This first surfaced in June and just hasn't gotten anywhere near the attention that this Reid matter has over the last week or so. Time Magazine, just as one example, devoted half of an article to, this week to Harry Reid's land deal. They've never mentioned Dennis Hastert's, which, again, is a situation where Hastert is accused of using his government position to, mm-hmm. to increase the property value.
Yeah. And the bundled contributions, you're aware of that story, aren't you?
Only vaguely. It hasn't mm-hmm. been reported all that much.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's worth pursuing. And again, I don't know all the details, but it was alleged to be a group of Iraqi exiles who helped raise almost $200,000 for the speaker in $99 contributions that therefore didn't have to be disclosed. Let's now take a whack at Chris Matthews. Here's an excerpt from a broadcast of his last week. And listen carefully. JMO's going to tell us what's inaccurate here about Mr. Hardball.
Yeah, tyrant taxes are the Republican strong points. On the other side, somebody put it rather well. They said casualties, it's a hard way to put it, making political, casualties and corruption are the best arguments for the Democrats.
Exactly. But the question
CNC
is, they've got a lot
TNT.
Of money in the bank. The question is, can they push those people out to get them to vote like they did in 2004? It's much more difficult to do this year.
Now, there, Matthews is repeating a talking point that the president used when he asked and answered his own questions at the news conference last week.
Matthews has been saying this just over and over again nearly every day, that terror and taxes are advantages for Republicans in this campaign season. It's not true anymore. The latest polls show that the American people prefer Democrats to deal with taxes and to deal with terrorism. The recent Pew poll gives Democrats a 15-point margin on taxes, and this actually isn't anything new. Pew, as far back as February, gave Democrats a double-digit lead on taxes. Chris Matthews is just way behind the times here on both taxes and terrorism.
Mm-hmm. Well, and over the course of the time you just cited, from February to now, Republicans have declined in those broad poll questions. Have Democrats actually come up?
They have a little bit.
Yeah.
They have a little bit.
But the major shift was the decline of Republicans.
Yeah, they're not at all popular right now, as you may have noticed. Chris Matthews is still figuring it out. This is actually something we've seen that's a bit of a pattern with him. Last year, he kept talking about how the president's approval rating, his job approval rating, had gone down, but people still like him personally.
Yeah.
And he was saying this for weeks and months, and we kept correcting him every time that he did, pointing out that, in fact, poll numbers show that the American people don't like Bush personally either.
Yeah.
They think he's doing a bad job, and they don't like him. And Matthews finally corrected himself, saying, you know, I keep saying this guy's popular, and he's not.
Jameson Fozer, thanks for joining us. I'm Peter B. Collins.
From Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
We at KRXA want to thank you for your support of our advertisers. Together, we're working as a community to help take America back. Keep thinking outside the box and call us with any ideas and comments anytime. Tell your friends about KRXA, and together, we'll help change the direction of this great nation. Working as a team, we're making a difference, and it's needed now more than ever. I'm Sheila Gale. Thank you for listening to Progressive Talk, AM 540, KRXA.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, O'Reilly!
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you can strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540. Down in
I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium. Or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
We're going.
Tom Hartman.
See, the bottom line here, Bush is afraid to negotiate. And now he's having to negotiate out of fear.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
It's the exact opposite of what John Kennedy suggested in his inaugural address back in 1961.
Let us never negotiate out of fear, but let us never fear to negotiate.
And Bush has done both.
Tom Hartman, weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. It's 33 minutes past the hour. We got lines available if you want to jump in and join the conversation. Toll free, it's 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. So Kim Jong-il's got the bomb. Ain't that a bitch?
Listen. I'm working 40 hours. 6 long days, and I'm highly embarrassed every time I get my pay. And they're working everybody, Lord, they're working poor folks to death.
And when you pay your rent and your car notes, you ain't got a damn thing left. Ain't that a bitch?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it is.
Somebody doing something slick.
Somebody's doing something slick. That's the late, great Johnny Guitar Watson. And the song that you've already guessed the title to.
Mighty well go up, Johnny, and dig a ditch. Ain't that a bitch?
And we're going to kick off a radio tour the next 90 minutes of Bush's Axis of Evil to see how effective the policies that he first enunciated in his 2002 State of the Union message are faring. To look at the North Korea situation, we turn to Dennis McDonough. He's a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, where he's also senior advisor to Tom Daschle, the former Senate Majority Leader, who is now in residence there at CAP. And prior to joining the American Progress Group, he was legislative director for Senator Ken Salazar of Colorado. Dennis McDonough, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thanks a lot for having me. Good to be with you.
Well, it's nice to talk with you. It's our first time, and I appreciate you taking the time to join us. First up, just a couple of factual questions. Have we determined that the device that was detonated in the hills of North Korea a week ago yesterday was, in fact, nuclear?
Well, it turns out that we have ascertained some data that suggests that that blast in North Korea, as you point out, did include radiation, so I think current thinking is that indeed he did test a nuclear device, not a particularly large one, but notwithstanding the relatively small size of it, it is a very provocative and very concerning development, that's for sure.
Now, do you have any skepticism about this, that this was a show blast of some sort? You know, I'm not a scientist, but I can imagine that you scrape together, you know, enough enriched uranium or some other radioactive material, and you put it in a bunker with some, you know, common plastic or traditional explosives, and you set it off, and it produces a blast that can be read by seismographs, and then a little radiation leaks out. Is it possible to dummy a blast like this, a detonation?
Well, you know, I guess my thinking on that is it's probably possible to do anything, but, and, you know, by nature, I think I'm a pretty skeptical guy. But if you look at what we're looking at here, certainly Kim Jong-il has the capacity, based on our best understanding, to do something like this, and has demonstrated, even with those missile tests a couple months ago, his willingness to do these kind of provocative actions. And knowing, as you kind of set the stage here, that this is kind of a look at what President Bush's policies have resulted in, my tendency is to believe that he has the capability to do this, and he has the willingness to do it, so I kind of have to assume the worst case here.
Mm-hmm. You'll forgive me. I've just been bluffed before on weapons of mass destruction. And I just kind of like to get it right. And, you know, if Kim actually was able to pull this off, you know, I will accept that. I just have to say that under the circumstances, he seemed to be saying, hey, over here. Stop paying so much attention to Ahmadinejad. I can't even pronounce his name. Kim is one syllable, three letters. I'm right here. I mean, isn't he really seeking attention more than anything else?
Well, I think you raise an interesting point, which is, what is his motivation for doing this? And I think we ought to be thinking, I think we as a country ought to be mindful here that, you know, the bad guys here are taking a look at our current posture, locked down pretty deeply in Iraq, with no discernible evidence from this administration that they're willing to consider an alternative course of action, and stretched as a result pretty thin. So I think that's when a bad guy like Kim Jong-il here says, hey, maybe this is a time for me to take advantage of this situation. But I think that's why it's important for progressives like all of us to say, hey, we have an alternative way of doing these things, of protecting our national security, and we're going to take them seriously, and we're going to implement them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what you're going to see over the course of the next several weeks, a very vigorous debate on exactly these questions.
Mm-hmm. Dennis, indulge me one more crackpot question here. you know, AQ Khan, or Han, of Pakistan, the father of the Pakistani bomb, is at the core of the developments on the nuclear front of both North Korea and Iran. Now, he is supposed to be comfortably retired and, you know, pretty well sequestered, even though we have never tried to put a glove on him or even, you know, politely ask him to tell us exactly what kind of proliferation he accomplished before he stepped down a few years ago. But my crackpot question is, do you have any hunch that there is a back channel through Khan or others between Tehran and Pyongyang? And is this, you know, part of an effort to distract the United States and put Bush in a position where he would be contemplating military action or at least defensive maneuvers on multiple fronts, maybe four, maybe five different fronts?
Well, I gotta say, you know, I'm inclined to look at this situation and wonder why we, as a country, have not taken our national security matters more into our own control here. I think you raise an interesting point, and I think the fact of the matter is we've had an administration that kind of conducted a war of choice in Iraq, and put a lot of other challenges off to the back burner. And now these things are coming charging forward, both Iran and North Korea. And as a result, I think we're kind of in a box. I think I would have liked to have seen an administration that would take control of its own national security, not wait for the worst-case scenario in the more pressing areas and chase after a war of choice, the low-hanging fruit, as it were,
mm-hmm.
in the axis of evil in Iraq. And so, again, trying to not let our decisions be based on the creations or plans of these dictators or these regimes, I think we should be back in the situation where we're taking these issues under our own control and advancing our own interests.
Well, and if I were to rewrite the president's rhetoric that preceded policy, that 2002 State of the Union, I would have mentioned Pakistan before either Iran or North Korea.
Well, you know, it's really interesting. I'm not certain we've still gotten to the bottom of the AQ Khan network, and I think that we would certainly have a lot of questions for him. I think even I remember seeing in the press relatively recently that even until recently we had not had access to him to debrief him, to find out what he had been up to investigate his actions.
Well, why don't we get him a book deal, and then like Musharraf, he'll come to the United States, and he'll only tell us, you know, what the publisher permits him to say.
Well, it did seem like a little interesting to see President Musharraf doing the whole tour, including the
Daily Show.
The Daily Show.
That was a hoot.
But so I think, I mean, we also got to be careful not to make light of this. And I think you're absolutely right to say, hey, we got to get to the bottom of the networks that we know exist out there. I think at the end of the day, that is what is most concerning about this test last week, which it says, hey, these guys have enough of this material now that they feel comfortable showing it off. And when you have enough of it to feel comfortable showing it off, I think you get into a situation where you might even feel comfortable letting it slip out into the black market. So I think we got to get our hands around this challenge.
Dennis McDonough with us from the Center for American Progress in Washington, where he is a senior fellow. And so Dennis, again, to me, the threat posed by proliferation that originates with Pakistan is, to me, a greater threat than anything that we thought was in Iran. We've created more of a mess there, and I'm sorry, Iraq, and we've created more of a mess there, and we're trying to deal with it. But if you were to set priorities, wouldn't you say that the potential proliferation from the Khan network, either through states or through what we call non-state actors like Al-Qaeda, that to me seems to be the paramount threat of the day?
Well, there's no question. You don't have to take it from me or from you. I mean, we can take it from, you know, we had this eminent blue ribbon panel several years ago, Lloyd Cutler and Howard Baker, and they said, look, the most pressing national security threat by far is the threat of the proliferation of nuclear material. They mentioned this Khan network, but they also mentioned, you don't even have to go to some elaborate network. You go into the former Soviet Union, the states of the former Soviet Union and of Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And over there you've got, you know, tons and tons of this material that's not locked down, that is still in rusting old barracks and camps and that type of deal. And
mm-hmm.
so you're absolutely right that we're going to have to get these real threats locked down before we chase off after any more imagined or propped up threats, mm-hmm. as we've done in Iraq, that's for sure.
We're talking with Dennis McDonough, senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. You can join us at 888-5-PETER-B. Dave's on the line from Eureka. Hi, Dave. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter. Looking forward to seeing you. And
Wednesday,
Dennis,
I'll be there.
I think as the world views this issue, they would wonder what country in the world is most heavily armored with WMDs. What country in this world is most prone to abuse and misuse their powers? And I think, well, I guess I'm posing the comment that I wanted to do on that. Just how does this country have the right to be telling other countries, you, sir, do not have the right to have weapons of your own? That same country that so misuses their powers.
You mean the double standard, Dave?
Well, yes. I guess you could.
All right. Dennis?
Dave, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
I think that you raise an interesting question. I think ultimately leadership and stewardship here is going to demonstrate to people, you know, how these things ought to be handled. I think that at the end of the day, we have to have more transparency on our budgeting for and providing these weapons in our own country. But again, that doesn't mean that others shouldn't live up to their responsibilities under their treaty obligations as well. I think that there's been times when we've been less effective at that in this country, and I could name several examples of that in the last couple of years. But again, I think we do have to, as you suggest, get back to a respect for a shared set of goals and a shared set of understandings for how this material should be treated.
And Dennis, if we take Dave's perception there, you know, or perspective from the world view, hasn't Bush done everything possible to cement that perception that we believe we have the unlimited right to possess and develop more nuclear weapons, and yet we have the right to dictate to certain governments, not India, not Pakistan, not Israel, but we can dictate to certain governments that we designate as rogues or unpopular in this part of the world, and deny them their aspiration? It's not something I want them to have, but I understand why they aspire to it.
Well, look, I think we have to, I think you raise exactly the right point. And I think when you look at us over the last several years developing new types of nuclear weapons, I think that sends a very disturbing picture to the rest of the world. But, you know, in fact, with an aggressive bit of oversight from senators, including Senator Feinstein and others, we've been able to stop some of those development of those new weapons, and I think that's exactly what we're looking for generally. We need more transparency here. We need more transparency from these regimes that are pursuing these things, and at the end of the day, I think we're going to get a lot closer to that. But look, in this instance, the most regrettable thing is that Kim Jong-il did announce even a couple of years ago now that he walked away from his treaty obligations, and we had an opportunity to try to write the situation through some very hard-headed and clear-eyed negotiating, and I regret that we didn't take that opportunity.
Yeah. Well, and it's just delightful to see people like Senator McCain point a finger at the Clinton administration. Excuse me? We're going to take a break and return with Dennis McDonough from the Center for American Progress. We'll talk more about North Korea, maybe a little about Iran, too. If you have a question, join us at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372 or 1-888-5-PETER-B, toll-free. More in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Tired of that dreaded drive into town for fresh quality produce? The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village has the perfect solution to your problem. Owners Ed Drobnik and Don Bikey have over 50 years of combined experience in the produce business and are passing the substantial savings on to their customers. The Produce Barn offers a wide selection of conventional and certified organic seasonal fresh fruits and vegetables. We also carry a fine selection of specialty candies and snacks, exquisite gourmet gift items, and feature Freedom Meats, savory sausages, bacon, and marinated fresh meats. Heck, we even throw in free recipes. So, whether you're a restaurant, lodge, home chef, or treasured village visitor, stop by the Produce Barn at 13750A Center Street in the Center Street Plaza, behind Wells Fargo, and right next to the Chatterbox. We're open 7 days a week.
The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village, 659-5916. That's 659-5916. The Produce Barn.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Politicians may come and go, but for the past 33 years, Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey. Technically proficient, Dr. Turner specializes in listening to every patient's concerns and feelings. And because Dr. Turner cares about you, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112, 831-375-1112, 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner, 375-1112. He listens, he cares. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, where our radio tour of Bush's Axis of Evil continues. We're talking with Dennis McDonough from the Center for American Progress. The song is called Talk Talk, and the group is Talk Talk. It's real easy. And I played the song because I wanted to talk about talks. Dennis McDonough, there's all this back and forth right now where the Bush administration says that there is no benefit whatsoever to engaging in bilateral direct talks with the North Korean government. And they keep pointing to the six-party talks, and they want China to play a more aggressive role here in trying to rein in the ambitions of Kim Jong-il. What is your take on bilateral, six-party, should they meet in a phone booth in Tokyo?
I got to say, at the end of the day, I'm not sure I care where they meet or who they meet with or how big the table is or, you know, whether they have sparkling water or still water, but I think they better get on with it and have these discussions. I think what's remarkable here is that you've had this administration so focused on the shape of the table here that we haven't ever put anything on the table to have any real negotiations or any real talks. And that, at the end of the day, is not the kind of result-oriented foreign policy we should be pursuing.
Well, and the Bush administration appears to keep trying to lay out markers, and they say, if you'll do this, we'll sit down and talk with you. And so, for example, with Iran, we have established preconditions that Iran rejects, and so it's kind of a stalemate. Ahmadinejad wrote this bizarre 18-page letter to Bush, which apparently has never been replied to or even, you know, privately acknowledged. And, the overtures are there. Clearly, both Iran and North Korea are acting in provocative ways, and I'm not dismissing or denying that in saying that we should, you know, find ways to engage them. But if Clinton could talk to China, if Jim Baker, that dangerous lefty, says we ought to talk to our enemies, and that's how I used to do it. What is keeping the Bush administration from really dealing with reality here?
Well, you raise a good example there. James Baker at the end, who, look, at the end of the day, I'm not sure I'd fashion anything after his example from Florida or anywhere else. But he said something interesting the other day. He said that he went on 15 trips to Damascus, and it wasn't until the 16th that he ended up getting a deal.
I heard that, yeah.
And at the end of the day, I'm not sure that we need to be worried about sitting down and talking to these guys, as reprehensible as their actions are, and as much as we should condemn many of the ridiculous things that they say. I think that ultimately you sit down and you talk to them, you're clear-headed about it, clear-eyed about it, you state very clearly what we expect of them and what they can expect when in return when they live up to the international community standards.
Mm-hmm.
But I see no reason not to do that.
Well, and just as Bush, you know, in 3 years has not found the time, even when he was clearing brush or driving in and out of the ranch to talk to Cindy Sheehan, there he was at the United Nations in New York a few weeks ago with, you know, everybody. And it would have been very easy for him to say, Ahmadinejad, let's go grab a Pepsi. And he could have had the upper hand, the high ground. He wouldn't have had to concede a thing. All he would have to do is make the effort to reach out, and there are a number of ways that he could have played it to his advantage. And instead, they played a cat-and-mouse game and avoided one another, and the stalemate continues.
You know, it's, you raise a good point, which is how we are positioning ourselves among all the actors in the international community here. For a long time, we were obviously the great hope for many people around the world, and I think in many cases we still remain that. But an interesting poll was conducted several years ago, maybe 2-3 years ago now, in South Korea. And it said that South Koreans under the age of 35 considered the United States a greater threat to their national security than North Korea. So here you are, we have 34,000 troops poised on the demilitarized zone there for the stated purpose of protecting democracy in South Korea. And yet, people in South Korea still consider the United States a bigger threat to their security than North Korea. That's amazing, and it says speaks volumes to exactly the question you're driving at, which is, how are we maintaining our leadership position in the world? How are we maintaining the traditional moral strength and moral leadership that we've had throughout the Cold War, throughout many different challenges in this country's history? And I think in this instance, we're really sacrificing that, and it's a shame to see.
Yeah. We're talking with Dennis McDonough, 1N in Dennis. He is a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. And Dennis, when I introduced you, I mentioned that you used to be a top staffer to Ken Salazar, the Democratic senator from Colorado. It's Republicans who say Democrat. And I just wanted to ask you, because to me the low point in recent legislative history was the House and Senate passing what's called the Military Commissions Act. I refer to it as the Joe Stalin Detention, Torture, and Kangaroo Court Act of 2006. And I was disappointed to see that Senator Salazar voted for it. Can you give me any insight as to why he would do that? He's not up for re-election. I can understand, actually, Senator Stabenow and some others who are in tight elections not wanting to give an opponent an issue to club them with. But why would the senator vote in that direction under these circumstances? Do you have an insight?
You know, I don't really. It's a fair question, very fair question, and I did not discuss that one with him. And you know, he's a former attorney general. He's an unbelievable legal scholar himself.
Yeah, and so detaching us from the Geneva Conventions and eliminating habeas corpus for this group of detainees, I don't understand how a person with a sense of the legal history of the United States could vote for that.
Well, and you know, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt here, because he has just an amazing personal story. He has, no question, one of the most promising future leaders for our party and for our country. And so, again, I haven't had a chance to discuss it with him, but I'm going to definitely give him the benefit of the doubt on this one.
All right. Well, if you have a chance, let him know Peter B. is curious, and I'd be happy to have him on the program and let him explain it, because I'd like to know.
Let me try to do that.
Okay. Well, Dennis, it's a real pleasure to talk with you. Thanks for joining us today.
It's been a pleasure. I really appreciate you having me, and I hope we can do it again soon.
I think we can. Thank you very much. Dennis McDonough, Senior Fellow at the Center for American Progress, and he's a Senior Advisor to Tom Daschle, who is now a Senior Fellow as well at CAP. Coming up next, we take a break and then return to talk about Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, and the Palestinian territories. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, produced by Matt Renner. We originate in San Francisco. And you can get more information, catch the live stream on the web, and archived programs at our website named after me, peterbcollins.com.
Hello, this is Al Moore with Moore Imported Cars in Monterey. Automobile enthusiasts know that the world's finest vehicles are manufactured within sight of the Alps. They include our Mercedes, BMW, and Porsches. These are the marks of dreams, and they're the very automobiles that we specialize in at Moore Imported Cars, located at 999 Del Monte Avenue in Monterey, right by Windows on the Bay. Stop by Moore Imported Cars and check out this week's special.
A 1985 Porsche 911 SC Coupe, burgundy with cream beige interior. This Southern California car has been enthusiastically owned for the last 12 years and comes with a 3-month warranty. The price for this week only is reduced from $24,900 to $21,900.
For more information, browse to moreimports.com. That's M-O-H-R. Or call us at 373-3131. That's 373-3131.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. Concerned about a second North Korean nuclear test.
That would further deepen the isolation of North Korea, and I hope they would not take such a provocative act.
Words of presidential reassurance for the Prime Minister of Iraq. I'm Mark Noller at the White House.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The Bush administration says North Korea's underground test was definitely nuclear, but not as powerful as planned, which could prompt another test soon. CBS News national security correspondent David Martin reports.
No sooner had analysis of air samples taken by an Air Force plane over the Sea of Japan confirmed that the North Koreans had indeed set off a nuclear device than U.S. intelligence picked up signs of activity at an underground test site, raising the possibility they might test again.
We're watching it, obviously, and discussing with other parties as well. I think it goes to say that that would further deepen the isolation of North Korea, and I hope they would not take such a provocative act.
Secretary of State Rice flies to Asia tomorrow to push the Chinese, Japanese, and South Koreans about enforcing economic sanctions passed by the UN Security Council.
The sanctions obligate China to inspect trucks crossing the border into North Korea. There's been some of that already, and Secretary Rice dismisses doubts about China's commitment.
I am not concerned that the Chinese are going to turn their backs on their obligations. I don't think they would have voted for a resolution that they did not intend to carry through on.
Now this.
It's here at Ford and Lincoln Mercury Dealerships, the Right Now Factory Authorized Service Event, with special offers on tires, brakes, batteries, and more. Right now, buy four select Goodyear tires and get an iTunes gift card valued from $50 to $100 or an iPod Nano. Genuine parts and service at Ford and Lincoln Mercury Dealerships. Hurry, it all ends soon. Call 1-877-310-3673 or see participating dealer for details through 11-30-06.
I'm back. I am the Ricola Mystery Cougher. If you hear me coughing and offer me a soothing, natural Ricola cough drop, you could win $1 million. And this year, I'm also coming to one lucky listener's home. Register at RicolaUSA.com for clues and official rules. And remember,
I could be a woman.
No purchase necessary. Game open to legal U.S. residents 18 years or older. Game runs October 9th to November 18th.
Does anyone have a
Ricola?
President Bush had to put out a fire today when Iraq's Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki got worried about his future.
During a 15-minute phone call with the Iraqi Prime Minister, President Bush tried to allay al-Maliki's concerns that U.S. support for his government may not last much longer. Spokesman Tony Snow described it this way.
There was a rumor that
there were going to be attempts to replace him if certain things didn't happen in 2 months. And the president said, the rumors are not true. We support you.
But American patience seems to be running out, and even some leading Republicans now say a change in strategy will be warranted if there's not more progress soon. Mark Knoller, CBS News, the White House.
The violence in Iraq has gotten worse, and as CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick reports, more deadly for American forces.
14 U.S. military personnel have been killed since Friday, according to military statements. They happened in Anbar, Kirkuk, and Salah Adin provinces, and here in the Baghdad area, where 5 soldiers died in roadside bombings. The violence has also stepped up a notch north of the capital in Balad. More than 90 people have died in sectarian violence since Friday. Many of them Sunnis, killed in apparent retaliation for the murders of 17 Shiites. That city's been sealed off, and additional security forces have been brought in.
Pretty exciting day in the stock market.
We could almost taste it on Wall Street, that 12,000 mark.
CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus watched the Dow climb to another record, 11,980, tantalizingly close.
12,000 is no magical number for Wall Street, but it does give investors a psychological boost. When Wall Street starts breaking records, it boosts investor confidence, and that's good for the overall economy.
Former President Gerald Ford is out of the hospital. Last week, he was admitted to Eisenhower Medical Center in Rancho Mirage, California, for tests. Lester Crawford resigned last year, just 2 months after being confirmed as head of the Food and Drug Administration. Today, CBS News reporter Stephanie Labadakis tells us he was charged with violating conflict of interest laws.
Lester Crawford is expected to plead guilty to 2 counts involving false information he put on financial disclosure forms. Both charges are misdemeanors, which means jail time is highly unlikely. Crawford held stocks in 3 companies regulated by the FDA, Embrex, PepsiCo, and the food giant Sysco, while falsely reporting that his stocks had been sold.
Crawford's expected in court tomorrow. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
General Motors, a new level of strength, a new level of quality, a new level of confidence. Introducing the GM 100,000-mile warranty. That's 8 brands and 80 models with 100,000 miles or 5 years of limited powertrain coverage. Learn more at GM.com or visit your local GM dealer.
You know when you open a birthday card from Grandma? She's usually good for, what, like $5? Well, now imagine that you have 100 grandmas. It feels like that.
Have you ever gotten out of your car and something catches your eye on the ground? You walk over and find a $5 bill? Okay, now pretend you find a $495 bill next to it. It's just like that.
New GEICO customers report average annual savings of $500 on their car insurance. Discover how it feels and how much you could save. Go to GEICO.com. Simple as that.
General Motors, a new level of strength, a new level of quality, a new level of confidence. Introducing the GM 100,000-mile warranty. That's 8 brands and 80 models with 100,000 miles or 5 years of limited powertrain coverage. Learn more at GM.com or visit your local GM dealer.
Federal prosecutors were disappointed today.
We continue another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. Thanks for joining us. Coming up a little bit later, Chris Tonsing returns to our program. He's co-editor of the Middle East Report. We're going to get his take on the deterioration of the situation in Iraq. Did you think it could get worse? Well, it has. And we'll also talk with him about the continuing conflict between Israel and Palestine and the inner conflicts between Hamas and Fatah. That's coming about a half hour away here on the Peter B. Collins Show. But this half hour,
ain't no technological breakdown. Oh no, this is the road to heaven.
And our stop this hour on the road to hell is Afghanistan. There's a powerful new book out in softcover called Bleeding Afghanistan. We'll be joined in a moment by the co-authors Sonali Kolkatar and James Ingalls. But to set it up, I wanted to play, and if you'll indulge me here, a tune from the mid-1980s from one of my favorite pet bands from England called The Stranglers. And this is a song that they wrote about the Soviet occupation of Afghanistan from the point of view of a Russian soldier named Vladimir.
I was still unable to resume my lectureship in the study of Iranian particle physics, and therefore volunteered to help our Afghan comrades in their great struggle for liberation. I was readily accepted into a motorized maintenance unit.
And that's the story of Vladimir and the Beast. He gets hopelessly hooked on Afghan heroin, falls in love with a camel, and it's comedic. But the backdrop was not funny at all. And I wanted to play that just to give a sense of some of the absurdities that really revolve around the plight of Afghanistan over the last 30 years. And as I mentioned, the co-authors of Bleeding Afghanistan are Sonali Kolhatkar and James Ingalls. Welcome to our program, Sonali.
Hi, it's good to be with you.
Nice to talk with you. And James, do you like to be called James or Jim?
You can call me Jim.
Okay, Jim, thanks for joining us. And your book is a powerful indictment of American administrations, going back really to the Carter administration, for the way we have viewed Afghanistan simply as a pawn on the global chessboard. And we've been willing to accept all kinds of atrocious governments there and policies and politics, as long as we saw some benefit to the United States. Sonali, how about if you give us a quick summation, if you would, about the way the U.S. supported the Mujahideen in Afghanistan during the Soviet occupation and how that has propelled forward to the issues of today.
Sure. I think it's a very, very important story. Basically, the Soviets who invaded Afghanistan and occupied it for about 10 years in the late 70s were there carrying out a pretty brutal occupation, and the U.S. Saw that right from the start as a opportunity to finish the Cold War once and for all. And so at around the same time that the Soviets were coming into Afghanistan, the United States began funding and arming and training these soldiers, these seven political parties in Afghanistan, calling themselves the Mujahideen, which stands for the Soldiers of God. And these weren't just any men. These were the most fanatical elements in Afghanistan, the most misogynist elements, the most fundamentalist elements, extreme elements in Afghanistan, who had a very low opinion of women, who had a very low opinion of democracy. And they were the proxy soldiers for the United States on the ground, and they fought the Soviets tooth and nail, very brutally. And, you know, they were certainly joined by a massive movement throughout the country of resistance against the Soviets, mm-hmm. because nobody likes to be invaded and occupied.
Indeed.
And at the same time, these men got the bulk of the funding, and the U.S. gave money to particularly Gulbuddin Hekmatyar, was one of the men who was famous for throwing acid in women's faces. And these men, after the Soviets left, took over the country and fought one another for power with U.S. weapons, and in the early 1990s destroyed Afghanistan, destroyed Kabul in particular. And it was from them that the Afghan people wanted safety and an end to violence, and initially even welcomed the Taliban.
Mm-hmm. And Jim Ingalls, let's talk a little bit about these presidents. Jimmy Carter has a very rosy image as an ex-president, but together with Zbigniew Brzezinski, he had a very hard-line policy toward Afghanistan, mainly because it was, again, a proxy for the Soviet Union. We didn't really care what happened in Afghanistan because we were miring in the Soviet Union, costing them money and lives, and ultimately it's part of what broke at least mentally, the superpower ideas of the Soviet Union.
That's right, yes. I mean, Carter was, you know, he was just thinking in terms of grand strategic goals of the U.S., and it really didn't matter that the people of Afghanistan were caught in the middle. His national security advisor, Zbigniew Brzezinski, is basically gloated after the fact to reporters in the late 90s, saying that back then I advised Carter to start ramping up support to the Mujahideen to give the Soviets their equivalent of Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
And now we remember what happened to the Vietnamese people. This is you know, they don't really care about what happens to the Afghan people. They just use them as tools.
Right.
But millions of Afghans were killed by this operation.
Mm-hmm. And this occurred at a time when, to his credit, Jimmy Carter was articulating a foreign policy with a human rights linkage. The low points were Afghanistan, the support for the Shah in Iran, and the support for the Marcos regime in the Philippines. If you could put those aside,
exactly.
Carter came off pretty well. Now, what about Ronald Reagan, Jim? What was his role in fueling this resistance, this armed resistance in Afghanistan?
Well, it really looks like a very continuous policy from Carter to Reagan. I mean, Reagan essentially enhanced the support for the Mujahideen factions. It became, in the mid-80s, it became an overt operation instead of a covert CIA behind-the-scenes operation. It was talked about openly. Reagan would have members of the factions, heads of the factions, come to the White House and shake their hands and say these are the equivalent of the U.S.'s founding fathers. So he just continued the process right up until the time, you know, the Soviets withdrew in 1989.
Mm-hmm. And we'll leave Poppy Bush out of this. Sonali, let's turn next to the Clinton administration. They don't have a perfect record on Afghanistan either.
Not at all. In fact, when the Taliban took power, Clinton was here. Bill Clinton was the president here in the United States. And initially under his watch, it wasn't very, important that the Taliban had come into power, that they were going to be these ultra-misogynist, even more scary than the previous regime. And if anything, they acted with some sort of positive favor towards the Taliban, because maybe now there would be some stability in the region. It didn't matter if it was the stability of a prison, which is what the Taliban brought to Afghanistan. And in fact, Clinton's administration made some positive overtures to the Taliban, saying that, we haven't seen anything that is terribly, worrisome at this point. And also, we should remember that at the time when the Taliban came into power, the only three countries in the world that recognized them as the legitimate rulers of Afghanistan were Pakistan, the United Arab Emirates, and Saudi Arabia, all three staunch U.S. allies. And so this happened under Clinton's watch. Another thing that happened under Clinton's watch was that Unocal Corporation was very interested in doing a deal with the Taliban, actually, basically working with them as partners to build an oil pipeline across Afghanistan. And ultimately, that project didn't go through, primarily because there was a lot of attention finally paid to the fact that the Taliban were these misogynist fundamentalists. And eventually, Clinton backed off from this under pressure from mainstream feminist groups in the United States.
Mm-hmm. That is Sonali Kolhatkar. Do I get your name pretty close?
That's right, yeah.
Kolhatkar and James Ingalls. They are co-author of this new book called Bleeding Afghanistan, and it's out from, is it Seven Stories Press? Yes.
That's right.
A great publisher. And I want to read a key paragraph here, if you'll permit me. The people of Afghanistan seem to have always been pawns of outside powers. Even the language typically used to describe the political condition of the country reflects the way it affects outside countries. It was a buffer state when there was more than one empire vying for influence. It became alternately a failed state and a rogue state in the 1990s, when no country cared what happened inside its borders. Both latter phrases inappropriately mask the crucial U.S. role in bringing terrorists to Afghanistan and strengthening fundamentalist forces. A better term might be destroyed state, which points to the wrecked condition of the country, but also to the responsibilities of outsiders. After 9/11, the U.S. unleashed once again many of the same fundamentalist and warlord armies to eliminate the weak Taliban government. They were given a place in the new government, entrenching their violent hold indefinitely over the suffering people of Afghanistan. Given that human rights and women's rights were never before of concern to U.S. policymakers, post-9/11 U.S. policy should have been viewed with a great deal of skepticism. We're going to take a break and return, and we'll talk about Afghanistan since 9/11, and in particular, the current problems in the country. And if you have a question or comment, our guests are with us for another segment. You can call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372, and it's toll-free. Our guests are Sonali Kolhatkar and James Ingalls, the co-author of Bleeding Afghanistan, subtitled Washington, Warlords, and the Propaganda of Silence. More in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
The Prunedale Auto Care Center and the Blue Frame Muffler Center remind you a vast new world of knowledge is available to our children on the Internet. But a growing number of young people are being targeted by strangers attempting to establish offline contact. Make sure your children know about all the dangers of child abduction. This message is from the Prunedale Auto Care Center and the Blue Frame Muffler Center, 8485 Prunedale North Road. Visit PLAAC.com.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale from Reality Radio, Saturdays 4 to 5 p.m. We're speaking on subjects not often talked about, like fear around money, relationships, or children, how we judge people, aging, happiness, and with our Central Coast's most colorful people, and of course, you. Call in or just listen. Reality Radio, Saturday afternoons, 4 to 5, with me, Sheila Gale, on KRXA, sponsored by Myrick Photographic on Fremont Street in Monterey. Myrick Photographic in Monterey.
Peter B. Collins Show continues 21 minutes after the hour. In about 10 minutes from now, Chris Tonsing returns to our program, co-editor of the Middle East Report. We'll get an update on the deteriorating situation in Iraq and some other flashpoints in that part of the world. We continue now with Sonali Kolhatkar and James Ingalls. They are co-authors of the book we're talking about, which is Bleeding Afghanistan. And they're also the co-directors of the Afghan Women's Mission, a U.S.-based nonprofit that raises funds for and awareness of the projects of RAWA, the Revolutionary Association of the Women of Afghanistan. And Sonali is the host and producer of Uprising on KPFK, that's Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles. And James Ingalls is a staff scientist at the Spitzer Science Center at the California Institute of Technology. Sonali and Jim, next let's talk about the aftermath of 9/11. When the Bush administration was eager to attack Iraq almost immediately, and it appears that Richard Clark in National Security, what was his portfolio? It was terrorism and international security. He was the so-called czar at the White House at the time. And it appears that he dusted off some old plans that Clinton had refused to activate, or at least declined to activate, for this attack on the Taliban and the alleged al-Qaeda bases inside Afghanistan. So, Nali, why don't you pick up the narrative from there?
Actually, I'll let Jim answer this one because he was the one who took the lead on this particular chapter.
Oh, great. Go ahead, Jim.
Well, those plans had been passed by Clinton many times. Clinton didn't really act on them. Passed by the early Bush administration because Clark was still in the administration, and Bush and Condoleezza Rice and his advisors, their advisors refused to even consider them. So the U.S. really was not interested in any kind of approach to Afghanistan to solve any of the problems that they created in Afghanistan. Not that Clark's recommendations would have solved the problems, but at least they would have shown that the Bush administration was somehow concerned.
Mm-hmm.
After 9/11, administration was deliberating for about 5 days before they decided that they couldn't attack Iraq right away. That they had to take 9/11 and respond to 9/11 by doing something about Afghanistan.
And do you think that was a reasonable response?
Well, I think I disagree with what the Bush administration did. I disagree with the essentially going into Afghanistan with bombs and funding the warlords again to topple the Taliban. Essentially, the U.S. Reinstated many of the same factions that the Taliban had ousted, who were devastating Kabul in the early 1990s,
mm-hmm.
That people were extremely afraid of. So they brought a lot of these factions back. They bombed the country, and they didn't do anything to reduce the conditions that caused 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now what we're seeing in Afghanistan, we're seeing a resurgence of the Taliban. We're seeing people in Afghanistan, especially in the areas where the U.S. is, the U.S. troops are active in the south and east, are starting to feel like the U.S. and the Taliban are equal opposing forces, that they have to basically wait until to see who wins. 70% of the people are on the fence trying to decide who to back.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know if they wanted to back the U.S. and NATO forces or the Taliban. And the Taliban are now being seen by a lot of people as a possible alternative to the current unstable government that's been put into place by the U.S. under Hamid Karzai.
Oh, but he's a styling guy, a former consultant to UNICAL.
Yeah, he's a really debonair fellow.
Yeah, for a puppet. Sonali, tell me, just is this book a reflection of your outrage that 5 years and a couple of weeks after we started bombing Afghanistan, that most Americans don't give it a second thought?
Absolutely. You know, the reason why we wrote this book was to fill what we have seen as a big void in progressive analysis, critical analysis of U.S. policies in Afghanistan. When the Taliban came to power, it was 1996, and by the time Jim and I got involved, it was about early 2000, and a lot of people, a lot is relative, but, you know, many people were starting to understand what the Taliban was doing, and when 9/11 happened, it was as though the world had discovered Afghanistan for the first time since the Soviets left.
Yeah.
And after the Taliban were defeated and women were somehow, you know, supposedly liberated, and I use that word in quotes, it was as though Americans felt that their government had done the right thing. We had gone to war to take action for 9/11, and as a bonus, an extra bonus, we had freed the women, and now we can be on our way. And it was an outrage. It really, really frustrated us, and it has frustrated us. You know, one of the things we've done in the book is that we have traced media coverage in the of Afghanistan.
Yes,
that's
you
what
do.
The subtitle, The Propaganda of Silence, means. And we mm-hmm. really indict the mainstream corporate media in particular for giving the people of America the false impression that Afghanistan has been a success story. And that's why we wanted to really uncover the truth in our book, you know, and to remind them that far from being a success story, what happened after 9/11 was just another chapter in a series of ongoing chapters about how the U.S. has been interested in only destroying this nation to its interests, you know, holding its own interests above the human rights of people.
Yeah. Jim, just about 30 seconds remaining. What should we do about Afghanistan?
Well, the United States government should stop its military activities, the combat operations that are taking place in southern and eastern Afghanistan. We should support a international peacekeeping force as opposed to combat force, and we should pay reparations to Afghanistan. We should fund fully the Afghan government's requests for reconstruction.
All right. Well, I wish we had more time, but I wanted to make sure our listeners know about your book. I think it's a great read, a lot of powerful information. And Sonali, I agree with you that Americans need to take a closer look at Afghanistan and look at the historical context. It didn't start on September 12th of 2001.
And maybe give a few websites?
I'll take them off the air and we'll give them after the break. I'm
Thank
out of time right
much.
Now. That is Sonali and Jim. The book is Bleeding Afghanistan, and I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos.
One of the biggest benefits for us are the relationships that we establish with our customers. Our customers have said that they love coming to our place because we have great stuff and great prices.
The thing that makes us unique is the mix of things. It's a very eclectic mix. We've become a destination for a lot of people. They'll bring friends out. They'll do little mini tour buses and bring friends. So we really, really appreciate that. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. We have everything from French soaps to linens to wall hangings.
And it's gotten to the point where people think of us when they need a gift. It's not just a utilitarian purchase or frivolous, but they make us a regular stop when they need a gift.
We're open from 10 to 5 Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
No more lobster. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. The United Nations Security Council finally got tough with North Korea over the weekend. I've seen the resolution they passed, and it expresses profound concern. It demands North Korea not conduct any further nuclear testing. It decides that North Korea shall suspend its missile program and abandon all nuclear weapons in an irreversible manner. And to make sure that happens, no country is allowed to send North Korea any battle tanks, combat aircraft, attack helicopters, warships, or luxury goods. Food and medicine, okay, but no luxury goods. North Korea can also collect fees for rent, taxes, and insurance. Insurance, I guess that would be their new nuclear hazard insurance, their comprehensive sea of fire policy with the artillery barrage rider. But the luxury prohibition, what's that all about? Well, it appears to be personal, aimed at Kim Jong-il himself, since he is about the only one in North Korea to get luxuries. Yes, soldiers may get non-moldy rice and a fresh armband once in a while, but the caviar, French wine, the cognac, the live lobsters, the shark fin soup, that stuff pretty much goes to Kim Jong-il, who's developing a round little belly that shakes when he laughs like, well, actually in North Korea there's nothing to compare it to because he has the only belly of any size, since everybody else eats bark. We all hope this works, of course, that forcing Kim Jong-il to hang up his lobster bib will be the thing that finally convinces him the cost of going nuclear is just too high. Unless, facing a life without fresh seafood, he figures what the hell, he might as well press the button. Now this.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and pop-up ads invade your business every day through email, web browsing, and instant messaging.
And the fastest way to stop them is with Barracuda Network's spam, firewalls, and web filters.
Call 888-ANTI-SPAM now and ask for your free trial.
Barracuda Network's firewalls are affordable and easy to use.
That's why over 35,000 leading companies are using the award-winning firewalls.
Try a Barracuda firewall for free.
Call 888-ANTI-SPAM,
888-ANTI-SPAM,
or go online to BarracudaNetworks.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
For over 30 years,
I have been helping people restore their skin's natural beauty. This is Claudie Assalit of Claudie Skincare Studio in Carmel. I bring a certain je ne sais quoi, as well as 3 decades of experience in top spas and salons. Claudie Skincare Studio features a selection of the finest products, and I am always training to stay at the cutting edge of skincare technology. At Claudie Skincare Studio, we specialize in healing facials, peels, Reiki, waxing, lash tinting, as well as nutritional advice to ensure your skin vibrancy and good health. To set up an appointment, call me Claudie Assalit at 625-4101. That is 625-4101. Smooth, soft, beautiful skin can be yours. Call 625-4101. A bientôt.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. You're invited to join the conversation whenever you'd like. 888-5-PETER-B is my toll-free number. Lots to talk about next hour in the free speed zone. I hope you'll call in and chat. A couple of items left over. We ran out of time, and just a quick mechanical note for you. The break that we take close to the half hour is what we call in the industry parlance a hard break. And if I try to delay that, it will wreak havoc at every one of our affiliate radio stations. So just before the break, Sonali Kolhatkar asked if she could pass along a couple of websites related to the book Bleeding Afghanistan, and I'm happy to do so. BleedingAfghanistan.com, that's one word, and you have to spell Afghanistan correctly, or Rawa.org, and that's the organization of women in Afghanistan, Rawa, Rawa.org. And also, based on our conversation with those co-authors in the preceding portion of this hour, John from Humboldt correctly corrected me. He said, Peter B., you forgot Carter's support of Indonesia in the rape of East Timor. I was talking about that on the surface, Jimmy Carter had a foreign policy that was linked to human rights. And I thought that was a good thing. But he made exceptions for Afghanistan policy, for the Shah of Iran, for the Marcos regime in the Philippines, and, as John points out, the hardliners, Sukarno and then Suharto, in Indonesia. John, you're well-read, and I appreciate you reminding me of that. Now we shift to another point on Bush's so-called axis of evil. We're going to talk about Iraq and its neighbors in the Middle East. And Chris Tonsing joins us. He is the co-editor of the Middle East Report. They're on the web at merip.org. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing okay today. Thanks for joining us. Let's start off with the deteriorating situation in Iraq. 46 Sunnis were killed after 17 Shia were found beheaded. That's what I would call the benchmarks of a civil war. But it's still referred to as sectarian violence, and it's taking a lot of American lives. We have lost 53 Americans in the first half of the month of October, and it's turning into a real mess as we redeployed some forces into Baghdad, some from Anbar province, some from the northern parts of Iraq, and there's quite a shooting match, and we're losing a lot of Americans, and a lot of them are a lot of additional soldiers of the U.S. forces. We don't even talk about a coalition anymore, are suffering serious wounds. Chris, and we have leading Republicans like Chuck Hagel and John Warner making it very clear that our current policies aren't working and it's time for change.
Yeah, and as shocking as the numbers that you mentioned are, the most shocking number last week was the one associated with the new study in The Lancet in Britain, which using statistical extrapolation estimated that 655,000 Iraqis may have died unnecessary violent deaths since the U.S. invaded Iraq in March 2003. And to put that figure in perspective, if that figure is accurate, that would mean that more Iraqis have died so-called excess deaths, deaths they would not have died otherwise, minus the circumstances of the war, and slightly over 3 years, than the number of Algerians who died in the 13-year-long horrible civil war there in that country in the 1990s. That war lasted from 1992 until until the early years of this decade. And the high estimates say that about 200,000 Algerians died in that war. So that would mean that three times as many Iraqis have died than the number of Algerians who died.
Well, a couple of points on that. One is that John Zoghbi, who is quite respected as a pollster and a statistician, has said that he carefully reviewed the methodology used by Johns Hopkins that was published in the Lancet British, pretty highly regarded medical journal, and that he has 95% confidence in the figures offered. And I, for one, am not interested in quibbling over an exact number. The president, of course, at a news conference last week, dismissed it as not credible. And to me, the number itself is less important than the range that it suggests and how far it differs from the numbers that are commonly accepted.
Exactly. And you know, even if that figure is wildly off, even if it's off by, say, 400,000 or 500,000, and the number is closer to 100,000 or 200,000, that's still an enormous, enormous loss of life that is directly attributable to this war, and what it has unleashed in Iraq with the, as you mentioned, the mounting civil war.
Mm-hmm.
So quite clearly, whatever course the U.S. is on is not moving in a positive direction, either for the United States or for Iraq. And this, I think, has actually long since sunk into the heads of the Bush administration, but they are out of strategic options. They do not know what to do that would simultaneously save face for them and achieve the core U.S. strategic goals that have been behind this invasion, namely keeping the locus of the majority of two-thirds of the world's oil supply safe for, well, not democracy, but safe for stable regimes. And that goal is very hard to see that being achieved at this point in time.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's fascinating to me because I referenced Hagel and Warner, two leading Republicans who have broken with the White House to suggest that there is denial over there, as Bob Woodward titled his book, and that it is time for a shift. And on top of that, we have the Baker Commission that will release its report conveniently after the election. And what the blogosphere is amped up about today is the calculations by these Republican leaders who are biting their tongues and making it clear that they're going to shift position in about 3 weeks. And based on what we've seen in the first 2 weeks of October, we could just kind of generously estimate that that's 53 American lives and some unknown number of Iraqi lives, but in the high hundreds. And so, you know, are these people making a political calculation that it is better to, you know, wait for a policy shift, wait an additional 3 weeks, and let these people die, because they were going to die anyway, and that the calculus is that it's worth it to write off those lives at the, you know, for the hope of Republicans holding on to Senate and House seats in this midterm election. Is that the kind of calculation they're making?
Well, 2 points here. First, I think every decision that has been made about Iraq policy, from the decision to invade and subsequently, has been made primarily with U.S. interests and U.S. politics in the at heart, and not with what's best for Iraq at heart. And I think, unfortunately, the eventual decision that the U.S. will make at some point in the future, I don't know when, to get out of Iraq will also be made without calculus primarily in mind, not what's best for Iraq. That is, I think, the both the tragedy and the biggest moral disaster to be held against the Bush administration. The second point is I am skeptical that this Baker study group will actually produce a clear-cut alternative that the Bush administration will switch to, even if for just for the crass purpose of convincing public opinion in the United States. I would expect that the report will be will present a number of alternatives, three or four alternatives, and it will contain lots of dissenting opinions and the like, so that these options will be put on the table for the Bush administration to choose from. I don't expect that there's going to be a clear-cut report that will offer one solution or another.
Well,
Because there isn't one,
yeah,
and partly because any change of course, the political cost of that to the Bush administration, that would be a tacit criticism of what the Bush administration has done so far,
mm-hmm.
and they might not be able to spin that.
Well, Chris, it was a little bizarre, but last week, I'm not sure if it was Monday or Tuesday, we got a report off the web from the New York Sun, a hard right newspaper. Describing a leak from this Baker Commission report, identifying two basic options, neither one which is currently in the quiver of the Bush administration. And what was bizarre is that a couple hours later, I flipped on the TV for the PBS NewsHour, and there was Jim Baker and Lee Hamilton, the Democratic apologist, who were saying that, they were describing what they've been doing and kind of preparing the way this report's coming out at the end, after the election. And they said the report hasn't been written yet. And I found that dubious, not only because leaks had already occurred, but because the way these things work, it takes time. They have to complete these and get them vetted and printed and all that stuff. And so I would imagine that their work is completed and their conclusions have been arrived at. Do you have the same notion?
Well, the way this study group worked, if my information is correct, is that the actual research was conducted by a much larger group of people who were, most of whom can make some claim to genuine expertise about Iraq and about security policy. And it included former working-level members of the intelligence community who had worked on the Iraq file when they were on the job, and included retired military officers, and included some Middle East experts. And they were the ones who did the research, and they probably wrote up some position papers, maybe multiple ones, which are going to be synthesized by this Blue Ribbon Commission into a report that will be presented for to the White House and possibly also for public consumption. So I think perhaps what the New York Sun piece, which has now been confirmed by Doyle McManus and the LA Times, perhaps what that's referring to is the sort of consensus that has emerged from these position papers that the working-level members of the Iraq Study Group produced.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps Baker and Hamilton and their confreres have not yet sat down to sort of pulp out the publicly consumable version of that.
And do you think they're making time for Dr. Kissinger to weigh in?
Perhaps. I'm not sure if I haven't seen his name associated with this project.
But no, but he's Woodward says he is in constant contact with the White House and is perhaps one of the top.
He's got a back channel to Cheney. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. That doesn't sit.
Of course, his prescription, if Woodward's reporting is correct, is apparently not among the options from which Baker and Hamilton are choosing, and that option is escalate.
Yeah. Yeah. And we don't have much to escalate with.
No. Really, they're facing a situation where the strategic options are running out.
Mm-hmm.
And, the other factor that has to be taken into account is what's going to happen in our midterm elections.
Yeah.
And there's a possibility, there's a possibility, of course, that both houses will go to the Democrats and that key committees might be in the hands of liberal stalwarts who will seek, through various means, to defund the war. That, I know, is worried about in the Pentagon. I'm skeptical about whether that would actually happen for the simple reason that if the Democrats do manage to take the House, for example, a lot of the Democrats who are going to be coming in as freshmen will be conservative Democrats because they'll be elected in conservative-leaning districts that have been Republican. So it'll be very difficult for the Democrats to pursue any kind of unified major policy initiative on Iraq, even if they do take back both houses of Congress.
Well, and they wouldn't take control until January, and there's a lame duck session with a lot of unfinished business where another supplemental could be tossed in there, and the Democrats would be powerless to stop it. So we'll pick up there in just a moment. Chris Tonsing is our guest. Middle East Report is his publication. They're on the web at merip.org. And if you have a question or comment, join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
And taking a look at traffic, we're going to give a quick advisory about a problem working in San Jose. It looks like VTA has temporarily closed down the Convention Center light rail station in downtown San Jose until mid-January 2007 for a modification. So passengers are being redirected to the nearby Paseo de San Antonio station. Problem southbound 17 just before the Cats. It was a stall vehicle. Looks like traffic backed up fairly significantly there. In fact, looks like they also said they maybe two separate stalls in that area, and a traffic backed up for about a half a mile. Also can tell you that CHP now on scene along with it appears to be tow trucks as well. Santa Cruz northbound one on the Emmeline Avenue off-ramp. That off-ramp was shut down for long-term road construction. It's scheduled actually through December 17th. And other than that, no other major stalls or accidents to report.
The Peter B. Collins Show continues 10 minutes before the top of the hour. We're talking with Chris Tonsing from the Middle East Report. As of October 1st, the U.S. has allocated no further funds for the rebuilding of Iraq. We've squandered at least $22 billion there over the last couple of years, much of it given to cronies of the Bush administration, contractors like Halliburton and Bechtel. And, of course, many of the projects were not completed. Schools, hospitals, pipelines, infrastructure, the electrical grid. It remains a serious mess. And, essentially, the U.S. has said, hey, we've spent all we're going to spend. Chris, it's pretty hard to believe, given the situation and given the way we have run deficits without, you know, seeming to care in order to pay for this elective war in Iraq, that we're now drawing the line and saying, well, you'll have to pay for it with all those oil revenues.
It is hard to believe, particularly given the great responsibility of the U.S. for a lot of the long-term structural damage to that infrastructure that needs to be repaired. The U.S., of course, was the, along with Great Britain, was the prime backer of the international sanctions that left Iraq's infrastructure so creaking and dilapidated before the effects of the invasion and then the subsequent insurgency and ambient violence. Yes, I think if there were an impartial international tribunal about this question, they would find that the United States owes Iraq massive reparations for the damage that has been done to that country and its infrastructure because of U.S. policies.
Well, and we didn't even leave enough money for the partitions. I imagine, you know, some really ugly wood paneling that we would put up to separate the Sunnis from the Shiites.
Particle board. Yeah.
And this does appear to be what's going to happen next. These Shias jam through a resolution to the dismay of the Sunnis, which delays partitioning but essentially makes it a fait accompli. Is that your impression?
That's certainly the way it's heading. And this was this story was huge, but it was sort of like a tree falling in an uninhabited forest over here. We didn't hear much about it. The vote went through despite a boycott by not just the major Sunni blocs in the parliament, but also the Sabra bloc, Shiite bloc, and also lots of other independent Shia boycotting the vote. It was rammed through by the Supreme Council for the Islamic Revolution in Iraq, which is the most sectarian of the Shiite religious parties, together with their allies, the Kurdish parties, and it appears some renegade elements of the nominally secular list of Iyad Alawi, the former interim prime minister.
Yeah, our guy.
But essentially what the Shiites and the Askari and the Kurds calculated here, they knew there was going to be a boycott. They knew that the idea of federalism is controversial. And so they were essentially throwing down a gauntlet. They were saying, we're going to ram this through with the barest of quorums, whether you like it or not, whether our opponents like it or not, and they're just going to have to deal with it. And this is an action, I think, that's taken by parties that are prepared for the consequences of the action, and I think it's a signal that they expect a deeper and more violent civil war than already is occurring.
Mm-hmm. You made a point in there that we didn't hear much about that in the U.S., and it's well taken. I heard a stunning figure just yesterday that the number of American reporters embedded, now that's not all the reporters, but the number embedded with the military has dropped to 12. And that, you know, it was up to 700 or more during the invasion itself in 2003. And when you combine that reduction with the circumscribed operations of the media, they're staying in their hotels and in the green zone, we're not getting much enterprise journalism out of Iraq these days.
It's certainly less than it was, and I don't quite know why that is. I suppose it's a certain Iraq fatigue. Perhaps more on the part of the editors in the newsrooms than on the part of the American public. But certainly in the public, there's also a fatigue at the story that only produces worse and worse news.
Mm-hmm. We got a caller on the line from Kentucky. It's a big state. Patrick, join us. What city are you in?
I'm in Owensboro. Peter, I haven't talked to you in a long time. It's been a long time.
I remember you used to listen on satellite radio.
Right. I sure did.
Well, good. Welcome back.
I'm not a neocon minion or anything like that. I listen to Alex Jones and some other networks. But I was just wanting to ask both of you what your analysis was of these General Wesley Clark-backed Democrats. Some of them, the one we have in the 2nd Congressional District here in Kentucky, is calling for the withdrawal of Iraq, which is great, but I still feel we're dealing with politicians here. What do you all think about this?
Well, Chris, I'll let you take a swipe at it first, if you like.
I'm not sure who the politician in question is. I think if this politician is calling for an immediate or near-term withdrawal from Iraq, he's probably in a minority of the Democratic candidates who are campaigning around the country. Most Democrats that I'm familiar with are either close to the sort of the Hillary Clinton line that the Bush administration is incompetent, collect us, we'll be better managers of the war, or they're campaigning along a line that we have to get out eventually, but it shouldn't happen overnight, and it should be done in coordination with the Iraqi government and so on. In other words, they think a precipitate withdrawal would be a disaster.
And, Patrick, I read an analysis over the weekend that Rahm Emanuel, who is leading the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, is kind of bragging that most of these potential freshmen are pro-war, are, you know, not really calling for immediate withdrawal. So your candidate there in Kentucky is a little different. We have a few here in California, Jerry McNerney, who's challenging Pombo, and Charlie Brown, who is taking on Doolittle. They have both articulated pretty clear strategies to get out. And in Brown's case, he is a decorated soldier. So it is a very interesting picture. And many of these Democratic challengers are not as progressive on this issue as I would like to see. Thanks a lot for calling from Kentucky. Good to have you back in the fold.
Okay, thank you.
All righty. And Chris, thank you for joining us today. Always a pleasure to talk with you.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
Chris Tonsing, Middle East Report, on the web, MERIP.org. Coming up next, our free speed zone. Your calls and comments are welcome. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. Give me a call.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay Area. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make Monterey and our region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty news shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Condoleezza Rice heads to Asia tomorrow. Her mission, to shore up resolve among North Korea's neighbors. CBS News reporter Charles Wolfson was at a State Department briefing today.
Secretary Rice told reporters that the UN Security Council vote over the weekend indicates the international community intends to collectively isolate North Korea, and she did not seem overly concerned that China might not work to implement the resolution.
I am not concerned that the Chinese are going to turn their backs on their obligations.
The North Korea case also sends a signal to Iran, Rice said, to abandon its nuclear weapons program or face a similar rebuke from the international community. Charles Wolfson, CBS News, the State Department.
President Bush and Iraqi Prime Minister al-Maliki spoke on the phone today, Mr. Bush trying to reassure al-Maliki of continued support. The Prime Minister was worried about rumors the United States might try to replace him if things don't turn around by the end of the year. Things are very ugly right now.
I'm Peter Mayer at the White House. A dramatic increase in violence in Iraq has seen more than 50 U.S. deaths so far this month. But answers about the future course of the war are hard to come by. Is the U.S. winning?
We're making progress. I don't know. How do you define winning?
Spokesman Tony Snow describes one of the bloodiest months of the war as a spike in violence.
You're stirring up the hornet's nest right now, and you're going after some of the problems. It is bloodier. It is more difficult.
President Bush has promised that when Iraqi troops stand up, the U.S. will stand down. The White House is unable to say when that will happen. Peter Mayer, CBS News, the White House.
A statement from former President Gerald Ford's office says he returned home today to resume his normal activity. Last week, Mr. Ford was admitted to Eisenhower Medical Center in Rancho Mirage, California, for unspecified tests. At least four deaths are blamed now on the torrential rain and tornadoes in southeast Texas, including two women who drowned when an SUV was submerged on a flooded Houston road. They'd driven into water that was 8 to 12 feet deep. In West Palm Beach today, authorities found the black Jeep driven by the family of four found shot to death along Florida's Turnpike last Friday. The vehicle was abandoned about 70 miles from the crime scene. Investigators believe that Jose Luis Escobedo, his wife, and their two young sons were forced out of the Jeep and shot by someone inside, who then drove away. Today, the Dow picked up where it left off on Friday, rising to within 20 points of the 12,000 mark. Peter Sperling, professor of finance at Touro College, thinks it'll keep going for a while.
I expect that it could go over, easily go over the 12,000 mark, but how much further it's going to rise as the economy slows and maybe even turns down, that's the big question.
Third quarter corporate earnings reports coming out this week, including a dozen from companies in the Dow, could make or break this run-up. The NASDAQ was 6 points higher today, closing at 2363, and the price of oil rose more than a dollar. This is CBS News.
Does a promise come with an expiration date? Is it good for a day, a year, 30 or 50 years? At New York Life, we make promises that have no expiration date. And when we make a promise, we live by it. The promise to pay a claim, to provide for and protect a family. It is why New York Life is built on the unshakable values of financial strength, integrity, and humanity. Keeping our promises is why New York Life is the company you keep.
I want to let you in on a little secret, but before I do, could all you car dealers, bankers, and credit card companies switch over to the All Sappy Love Songs All Day Long station? Good. For the rest of you, here's the secret. FreeCreditReport.com. If you know your credit score going in, you may be able to cut a better deal on car loans, refis, even credit cards. And you'll find your free credit score and report at FreeCreditReport.com. That's the secret. Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at FreeCreditReport.com. Get the score.
A program funded by a leading brewer says campus drinking is a problem, but maybe not as big a problem as we think.
It's National Collegiate Alcohol Awareness Week. Posters on campus and seminars aimed at reminding underage students it's illegal to drink even one beer.
They're not supposed to have any.
Carolyn Cornelison, who tours campuses paid by beer company Anheuser-Busch to preach for a healthy lifestyle.
I do a lot of freshman orientation, and when I look into those parents' faces, they're scared.
But based on surveys, she says the vast majority of college students have zero to very little alcohol, though she is still lecturing young adults to have fun without drinking. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
A police dog in Guilford, New Hampshire, really landed on his feet this weekend. Agbar was helping officers search for a man who robbed a woman at knife point. The dog was on the scent when he fell from a second-story window. But police say Agbar kept right on going and led his human handlers right to the suspect. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
It's here at Ford and Lincoln Mercury Dealerships, the Right Now Factory Authorized Service Event with special offers on tires, brakes, batteries, and more. Right now, buy four select Goodyear tires and get an iTunes gift card valued from $50 to $100 or an iPod Nano. Genuine parts and service at Ford and Lincoln Mercury Dealerships. Hurry, it all ends soon. Call 1-877-310-3673 or see participating dealer for details through 11:30:06.
I'm back. I am the Ricola Mystery Cougher. If you hear me coughing and offer me a soothing natural Ricola cough drop, you could win $1 million. And this year I'm also coming to one lucky listener's home. Register at RicolaUSA.com for clues and official rules. And remember,
I could be a woman.
No purchase necessary. Game open to legal U.S. residents 18 years or older. Game runs October 9th to November 18th.
Does anyone have a
Ricola?
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and this is our third and final hour of the broadcast day where we take your phone calls, and we call it the Free Speech Zone. Our rules are simple. We take calls on any subject, from any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. You will not be screened for political correctness or, anything else. If you're coherent and generally polite, My producer, Matt Renner, is going to put you on hold, put you up on the screen, and then you get to talk on the radio. It's that simple. Call me toll-free now at 888-5-PETER-B. It's 888-573-8372. I'm going to say it again slowly. We've got new listeners in Coos Bay, Oregon, and Phoenix, Arizona, and you may not be familiar with our number. It's 888-573-8372 or 888-5-PETER-B. And I've got some real serious topics to talk about. I'll get to them in just a moment. But two lighter ones. One is that my sweet mother turns 83 this week, and my oldest brother shares her birthday. And I got Mom this card that I found at the pharmacy earlier today. It's got a picture of W on it. And it features the logos of all of the multinational oil companies. And it reads, I shall do everything I can to keep America safe. That's why I'm mobilizing all my powers to put the X on the dotted line of freedom. I know the gulf between victory and defeat is large, but we are coming closer to victory each day. And if we fall short of our goal, I'll really be P-O'd. Got that? I'll really be B-P-O'd. And inside it reads, trust me, I'm doing it oil for you. Happy birthday. The other lighter thing I'd like to ask you about. Earlier today, for the first time on our program, we talked with Dennis McDonough. And he's a bright man. He's a top staffer to Tom Daschle over there at the Center for American Progress. Used to be on staff to Senator Salazar of Colorado. A very bright man by all accounts. And he pronounced the word nuclear, nuclear. And I'd like your guidance on this. I'd like to know if you think it's trivial and kind of pointless for me to point out to a smart guy like that that the correct pronunciation is nuclear. To me, it's a very easy word. There is no trick syllable in the middle. There's no Y in nuclear. And I have occasionally announced a $5 fine to be imposed on guests on the program who say nuclear, but I've never actually collected on it. And so I ask you, when you hear an otherwise brilliant person who you have some regard for, you respect their opinions, and they bungle an easy word and say nuclear, does it make you wonder? I mean, they can't all be like Bush, mildly dyslexic or whatever that condition is. So give me your advice on that. You can call about other things. But if you have an opinion on whether I should really toe the line and maintain a high standard on the pronunciation of nuclear, you let me know at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'm one of those people who's busy on Sunday mornings, and while I could program my digital recorder, the TiVo box, to capture the Sunday talk shows, I don't. And I catch up with them by sound bites either later on Sunday or sometimes on Monday. And I have two powerful sound bites from top Republicans that were broadcast on those chat shows yesterday. First up, Chuck Hagel of Nebraska.
We need to find a new strategy, a way out of Iraq, because the entire Middle East, Wolf, is more combustible than it's been in probably since 1948 and more dangerous, and we're in the middle of it.
We're in the middle of it. Senator Levin of Michigan yesterday made a comment that, you know, they're going to have a civil war over there, and frankly, we'd like them to do that without us if they insist on doing that. Now, here comes Senator John Warner. Remember, he was once married to Elizabeth Taylor. He served in the Reagan administration in the cabinet, and he is very much a hardliner, very much a loyal Republican. And here's what he had to say yesterday about the mess in Iraq. Oh, come on. Come on, computer, you can do it for me. Let's try one more button here. Oh, it's going to load, and here we go.
You cannot see. You can see some movement forward, but a lot of movement back. As we are sitting here today, 1 week out of my trip there, the exponential increase in the killings and the savagery that's going on over there.
Exponential increase. That's not coming from some loony lefty. That's Senator Warner. And if he is willing to break ranks and get off message during the primary or the midterm election season here, you know it's even worse than that. So I'd like to hear your reaction and your sense of, A, whether these messages will help propel people to vote Democratic this November, and whether anybody's listening at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. That's what I'd like to hear about from you this afternoon. To your calls we go in the free speech zone. And first up, it's Buddy in Monterey. Hello, Buddy. You're on the air.
Hello. Thank you. Well, first to address your question about how to pronounce nuclear.
Yeah.
When I was in school, you know, we realized that the atom had a nucleus.
Right.
And that nuclear reactions are based upon things that happen to the nucleus of the atom. So I think nuclear is some kind of a strange popular pronunciation that possibly is being, you know, emphasized by our fearless leader in Washington.
Well, but it goes back. Consider that Jimmy Carter was a Navy admiral who commanded nuclear submarines, and that's how he pronounced it.
Nuclear submarines.
Yeah.
Yeah, that may be how the popular usage got skewed. I'm not sure.
Do you think it came out of the military?
Good question. I know that it's important to communicate precisely, to be able to communicate fine points of things. And I don't know. I mean, we're not a feed intellectual snobs, I suppose, to quote somebody once upon a time.
Oh, you nattering nabob, you.
There we go. So I think I'll put my vote in for nuclear.
Okay. And what is your advice to me? Should I shame people who can't muster the proper pronunciation, or should I just let it go?
It's a hard one. It depends on, you know, your rapport with them, I suppose.
Right.
If they're receptive to some type of critique in a fun way. I don't know how I would couch it, but
well, this is one of the reasons that I was never groomed to be a shock jock in American radio.
Yeah.
Because I could never quite go for the jugular that way. I'll give you another example. And to understand this, you need to know that I have a very shiny, bald head above my penetrating hazel eyes.
Good for you.
And I was interviewing the late Steve Allen. This was maybe about 15 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And he came into the radio studio with the most badly applied wig hat I have ever seen.
Oh, my.
And I wrestled with the idea of saying something to him. Hey, Steve, I'm probably as bald as you are. What the hell are you doing with that bad wig hat on your head?
Oh, my. What did he say?
Well, I couldn't bring myself to do it.
Oh, you didn't say it.
But after he left, I raised the question with listeners, like I am about nuclear now, and it was evenly divided. Some people thought I should have said something maybe a little less direct than, hey, that's a bad wig hat on your head.
Yeah.
And others said, oh, no, that's too rude. That's too personal. And the fact that he has, you know, badly applied his wig is his problem, and you shouldn't out him for it.
Yeah. So might be embarrassed. You know?
I didn't. And the rest is not part of history. Buddy, thanks a lot for your call today.
Yeah, and I thank you for, being a compassionate person. That's important in the world.
Okay. It's just the way I am. You can blame my mom. She's 83 later this week.
Okay. Well,
all right, buddy. Thanks for the call. Now to Brian in Arcata. Hello, Brian. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Peter?
Good.
Hey, I'm with you on the nuclear thing as well. It's an important subject. People should know how to pronounce the words.
And so should I shame professionals and people who should know better?
Well, maybe just a soft repetition of the word after they mispronounce it.
Uh-huh.
just very subtle. Probably what I would advise.
All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate that gentle advice.
You bet. And tried to get tickets for your show up here on Thursday, and they were gone in 10 minutes.
That's what I heard. I didn't realize I'm wildly popular in Humboldt County.
They were going out the door at a blistering pace. I'm going to try to get in there and see you on a will call basis.
Yeah, come on by. Tom Seaborn and the folks at KGOE are working with the people at Del Arte, and we're going to have some sort of an overflow set up, either a speaker in the next room or, maybe we'll rotate people through with musical chairs.
That would be great.
Okay, well, I hope to see you there. Thanks,
Brian.
Keep up
the good work. Thanks.
And what he's talking about is Wednesday. I'll be broadcasting live from Humboldt County, California, the scene of KGOE Radio, one of my favorite affiliates. And we'll be doing the show live 3 to 6 p.m. at the Del Arte Performing Arts School. Hope to see you there. You can call KGOE to get more information at 707-442-2000. And you can call the Peter B. Collins Show right now. I've got a couple of lines open here in the Free Speech Zone. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. I'm Peter B. Collins. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Postgraduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Take a look at traffic. It'll let you know that no major stalls or accidents on Highway 17. Looking pretty good at this point. In fact, there was a stall earlier, but it's been cleared off. Looks like eastbound to westbound 25 appears to be no problems there. That's just certainly good news. Salinas, it appears we have a accident. This would be Espinosa Road west of Russell. It's a two-car crash, reportedly blocking lane CHP on the way to the scene there. South of Gilroy, southbound 101 at 25. Fender bender right shoulder, a big rig and a car involved. CHP telling us they are now on scene of this particular crash. Well, this report brought to you by Advil. Aches and pains keeping you up? Big news. New Advil PM is here. And the multi-pain reliever power of Advil plus new gentle sleep aid. New Advil PM stops hurting and starts healing. Mike McDowd with traffic on KRXA 540.
Coming up tomorrow on the Peter B. Collins Show, journalist Robert Scheer will join us. He's an outspoken critic of the Bush administration and the misguided war in Iraq, and he'll weigh in on North Korea as well. Also, we plan to check in with the brothers Slutsky, Peter and Matthew Slutsky. They're touring the competitive districts in advance of the election 3 weeks from tomorrow. They were in Wisconsin last week. Who knows where they'll be when they check in tomorrow. And also, investigative journalist James Ridgway will join us. He's got five reasons to investigate the Bush administration. That's all ahead, plus a lot more tomorrow on the Peter B. Collins Show. We continue in the free speech zone, and up next we got Bill in Phoenix. Hi, Bill. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter. Welcome to Phoenix. You're a welcome voice here, indeed.
Well, I really feel welcome, and I just want to tell you what a thrill it is for me to plug into KPHX 1480. Dr. Mike Newcomb and I have known each other for a little over a year now, and it's just wonderful to be part of that that great radio station in Phoenix.
Well, and you're making a good contribution here as well. Hey, I think you need to give them a little slack on nuclear.
You do?
I'm wondering if Hiram Rickover, maybe pronounced it nuclear back in the nuclear Navy days, and much in the same way that every pilot, commercial pilot that I flew for 30 years after the 60s tried to talk like Chuck Yeager, maybe those folks picked up his inflection and his pronunciation. And it may be that, many of the folks that say it incorrectly have just had that experience and have only heard that way of saying it. It's kind of like milk and melk and pillow and pellow and things like that.
Well, milk and melk, that's more of a regional issue, and it's more inflection and intonation or pronunciation than it is just a flat-out mistake.
Well, that may be true. And I can make an argument that, George suffers from Dick and Jane syndrome, that he learned from kind of a hybrid version of sight reading and phonics that didn't give him code to the ability to decipher code either way easily. And nuclear can be a tough word for a lot of us who are boomers who grew up with Dick and Jane.
Yeah,
and
you know,
don't pay attention to it.
You mentioned Bush, and Kevin Phillips, who has he's a former Republican who's written two blistering books about the Bush administration.
One of my favorite people.
He once told me that he thinks Bush is dysphonic.
Well, that could be.
And I'm not actually sure what that means, but I thought it was really impressive.
I think what you need to do is reserve your criticism for getting the other more important stuff right, like, say, telling the truth.
Yeah.
And being upfront about what we're really doing. And we can let nuclear slide, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Though it annoys me, I think we look a little bit petty when we make a big deal out of it. And that's all I have for you today.
Okay. Well, I really appreciate that, and I'll leave you with this. You know Dr. Mike Newcomb, the morning host there at KPHX. For a long time, his program was on our radio station in Monterey, and he was on right after Doug Basham. And so we used to run promos saying, well, first we bash him, and then we nuke him.
Well, it is great to have you here, and exciting things are happening in progressive radio in Phoenix, and I hope across the country, and you're making a wonderful addition.
We're doing what we can. Thank you, Bill. Next, we go to Pete in Phoenix. Hello, Pete. You're on the air.
How you doing?
Fine, thanks.
Yeah, it's great to hear you, by the way.
Well, thank you.
As far as that nuclear, I think that's just something from the South more. I'm from back East, and I hear more people say the way Bush says it, that are from the South.
All right, where's Bush from?
Texas?
Connecticut.
Oh, well, yeah, but he grew up in Texas, so.
Oh, kind of.
So I'm figuring that's a, more of a southern thing. But by the way, what you were talking about, John Warner.
Yeah.
When you were saying about the, that he's saying that before an election. I was thinking about when you said that, and I was wondering, you know, maybe some of these guys, they do want some Democrats in there. Maybe they're saying this right before an election because they know they're not getting nothing done with some of these other folks that ain't listening to them.
That's interesting. I hadn't thought of that.
You know, and you just, it just because these guys, their seats are not threatened, but some of the other folks are. And I was thinking to myself, well, you know, maybe that's they're trying to get that message out of that. Maybe we do need a change. And I know that's maybe a far stretch, but at the same time, what other recourse do they have if nobody's listening to them?
Right. Well, and Hagel is a little separate because he does have aspirations to run for president in 2008.
Right.
And he's reading the polls and seeing that most Americans don't support the war.
Right.
And
right.
that together with, I do consider him a responsible Republican, not a radical neocon.
Right, right, right. But I was just thinking about that because it's like, it's almost, you know, you don't expect them to do that right before an election, but it almost seems like they're looking for some kind of change from somewhere because they're not getting it from anybody else.
Yeah, it is unorthodox, though, for someone to betray party loyalty in the thick of a combat situation just 3 weeks before the election.
Exactly, and that's why I just thought about that, and it, you know, it may be sending a message to their own party, you know, that, hey, we need to do something here real drastic just so that way we can get something done.
Yeah.
And I hope people are listening and go out there and vote and change it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that was my comment.
Great, Pete. I really appreciate it. Thanks for your call today. Good to hear from you. We have just enough time for this politically incorrect recording of Porky Pig. He doesn't say nuclear, but... Oh, come on. Spit it out, Porky.
That's all, folks.
More of your calls coming up right after a break. 888-5-PETER-B. It's the free speech zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Go ahead and visit my website, peterbcollins.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Nancy.
And we're from the Potting Shed.
In Aptos. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn, but if you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find.
The barn has a lot of charm. People tend to come there just because the atmosphere is really nice.
And they'll come and have a cup of tea, bring their dog if they have one. All the dogs who visit know exactly where the cookie jar is. So it's that kind of a place. People feel very comfortable.
When we started, we were just strictly a garden shop with pots and plants, but we had to evolve through the years because nobody needed pots and plants in the middle of winter. So we started adding things, and now it's a full-fledged gift shop.
We work very hard to try and find things that are unusual and eclectic and well-priced. That's what our customers want. We're open from 10 to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
For whatever legal advice you need, go to Lawyers on Duty. Whether it's for your estate planning, divorce, custody, probate, or a living trust, Lawyers on Duty has experienced attorneys with realistic fees. There's no need to go anywhere else. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available, knowledgeable, and affordable. Located in the courtyard behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, Monterey. Lawyers on Duty open every weekday 9 to 5. Call Lawyers on Duty, 375-5100, 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner.
In these United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech. You have the right to worship as you choose. And when you disagree with Billy Sunshine, you have the right to be wrong.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM. Tune in Sundays 3 to 5.
I am Juan Escamilla, hands-on owner of Wilson's Tire and Service and candidate for Cabrillo College Board of Trustees, District 6. Cabrillo College is an excellent community college. Let's make it even better by adding state-of-the-art vocational training for our entire community. That's why I'm asking for your vote on November 7th. I am Juan Escamilla, candidate for Cabrillo College Board of Trustees, District 6, and I would appreciate your vote.
Hard work with straight talk. Escamilla for Cabrillo College Trustee, District 6.
The Peter B. Collins Show.
The story is true. Dragnet. Dragnet.
You got a lot of repressed feelings, don't you, Friday? Don't you,
the culture of corruption that afflicts the neocons.
Don't you, Friday?
Has claimed another victim.
Don't you, Friday?
Well, at least the investigation is underway. Joe Friday and a group of federal agents raided the home of the daughter of U.S. Congressman Kurt Weldon, the ultra-Republican from Pennsylvania, and his longtime friend Charlie Sexton. They left Karen Weldon's three-story brick home on Queen Street in Philly with arms loaded with boxes. The investigation is to see if Weldon's daughter receives special favors as a lobbyist in earmarks handled by her daddy. And so far, no marked cash has been found in a Weldon freezer. That one is unique to Dollar Bill Jefferson, the Democrat from Louisiana. And he Louisiana'd the Democratic Party endorsement over the weekend. A little progress there. We're taking your calls here in the Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines available for you at 888-5-PETER-B. And we've had a little bit of a shuffle, some people's calls dropped in their back, so if the order shifted, I apologize. Stephen Watsonville.
My apologies yourself, Peter.
You're next.
Brian Williamson here, basically.
All right, you're on the air, Steve. Go ahead.
But regarding the nuclear...
You said it right.
I actually said it right.
You know how to pronounce nuclear.
It's a habit.
All right. When you're finished, I want you to hang up and dial 202-456-1414. That's the White House switchboard.
Yeah.
And just ask to talk to W and tell him you want to help him work on his pronunciations.
Perhaps he's listening.
He never listens directly. They send him transcripts.
It seems to me the Irish who starved during the famine couldn't care less whether the English lords called it a potato or a potato. It was still a famine.
Okay.
And what I find reprehensible about this inbred, strutting Martinet Hitler clone in the Oval Office is his playing to the gallery. He knows how to pronounce these words, but he knows Joe Sixpack you know, but
he's dumbing it down for the NASCAR dads?
Do you think?
Well, you're giving him more credit than I'm willing to offer.
I'm not sure that he's that conscious
of a being.
Oh.
Steve, thanks for the call. Mackie in SoCal, you're next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, I really like your show a lot.
Well, I like it when people like you call, and it's just a little whipped cream on top with a cherry when you say you like the show.
Oh, yeah, it's really great. Well, I wanted to ask you what your thinking is. I read where Greg Powell said that the Republicans are planning on stealing the elections again, and that really worries me a lot. He was saying that they're going to start out with 1 million votes ahead in the voter machines that they can hack into easily. So I was wondering what your thinking is about that.
Well, I have deep concerns because we do see a surge in support for Democrats. We also see a substantial drop-off in support for Republicans. And, Mackie, let's just take for our discussion this moment the example of the great state of Ohio, the state of my birth. And I apologize to all of you for what Ohio has done to us, particularly in 2004. But there we have Mike DeWine, a Republican incumbent, who is running for re-election. And the most recent polls show him losing to Democrat Sherrod Brown. Now,
yeah, that was great.
But follow this. The Republicans have announced that the national campaign, the RSCC, the Republican Senate Campaign Committee, is going to pull its resources out of Ohio. Now, is that because they believe that Mike DeWine has already lost and is a dead duck? Or is that because they have overwhelming confidence in their voting machines and they don't have to spend the money in Ohio?
Yeah, really.
I don't know the answer, but it's worth asking the question, wouldn't you say?
I think it is, because it's great how the Democrats are doing and how the Republicans lose all the polling numbers as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really concerned since they stole it in 2004, verifiably.
The biggest worry I have, the second biggest worry, is complacent Democrats. My fear is that they're going to look at the polls, they're going to say, we got it locked, Speaker Pelosi doesn't need my help, and, I'm just not going to show up on Election Day.
Oh, yeah, I hope that's not true. Well, thank you, Peter. Well, I was wanting to get your opinion about that, because it's hard to know. And I understand that it doesn't help to have lawyers look into it. What we need are computer experts if we're going to be looking into the hacking.
Well, we're going to have an interesting, lively discussion with contrasting viewpoints. I wouldn't quite call it a debate. But on Wednesday, when we're live in Humboldt County, we're going to focus the entire show on election and voting issues.
Okay.
And there is a difference of opinion between our friend Brad Friedman of bradblog.com and our friend Paul Leto, the attorney who entered the case of the Bill Bray Busby election challenge in Southern California. And they have different opinions that do kind of get into some legal minutiae, and I'll save that for Wednesday to thrill the live audience. But what it boils down to is Brad says, well, if the machines can't be trusted and everybody can get an emergency paper ballot, and by the way, today the appointed Secretary of State here in California, Republican Bruce McPherson, issued an order that at every polling place in California, paper ballots will be available to voters on request. All right.
Right.
Now, Brad sees that as a good thing because if you fill out a paper ballot, it's still there to recount and even recount again if that becomes necessary or advisable. Leto's take is that he worries that on election night, these emergency paper ballots will not have been counted, and that any Republican that is ahead will declare victory, and it will become that much more difficult to prosecute the underlying legal issues if there are challenges to the use of these emergency paper ballots, or if they need to use legal action to compel them to actually count the emergency paper ballots. And Leto takes the position that it's easier and he's on stronger legal ground to litigate the failures of the electronic voting machines and create enough doubt to try to set aside a whole election than it is to deal with the vagaries of these emergency paper ballots and the whims of the various electioneers who will decide whether to count them or not. Did that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense. And it seems to me that what's disturbing is we've known since 2000 that this needs to be fixed. And there's, as we know, there's been so little on mainstream television or anywhere talking about it, except in, Rolling Stone with Robert Kennedy.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, I don't quite understand the Democrats not yelling every breath.
Well, I have been quite aggravated by that myself, and when we got Francine Busby to break her silence, it was in September, she finally came on our program, she really disappointed me, because she doesn't appear to have a fight in her over these issues.
That's amazing.
And I think you've got to look, this is fundamental. You can't win elections if the process isn't fair and transparent.
Absolutely.
And maybe that HAVA thing, the Help America Vote Act, they needed to add an R, Help America Vote Republican, HAVRA.
Well, I tell you, well, thank you so much. This is, I'm glad you're going to be discussing it more on Wednesday, and I look forward to that. It seems that I like your take on that thinking, because it seems sort of late in the day. If everybody's going to have a paper ballot, that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like it's not just have a few if the people ask.
Yeah. Mackie, thanks a lot for your call. Great to have you listening.
Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. And I have to give thanks to Margie in Oregon, who listens on KGOE in Eureka. She sent me a little package that I picked up at my post office box over the weekend. And right here we have on display in front of the microphone. Can you see that? It is a lovely blue T-shirt in a beefy extra large size for yours truly. And it reads, "In a democracy, we are the deciders." Margie, thanks a lot. She made that slogan up herself, and she has generously offered. She said, "I haven't copyrighted it, and anybody who wants to copy it and spread the word is welcome to do so." Margie, you're a great American and active progressive, and you've expanded my wardrobe. Thank you very much. Ed in Aptos, you're next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Greetings.
How are you?
I thought I'd inject a little humor in there. I get so depressed when I think about what the possibilities with the voting machine problem is.
Yeah.
We can work our ass off and still.
Well, we got to work those butts off even more, Ed. I'm sorry. We cannot relax.
I know it.
We've got to keep the pressure on.
For the people here in the Santa Cruz area, I hope they don't take. We kind of have a safe district here, and I think they're kind of taking it for granted. So, And some of the local races are siphoning off some of the energy. But back to a little bit of humor.
Please.
The Stephanie Miller had it on today, and she gets her information from that paragon of information, the Globe.
No.
And it seems as how the Globe is now saying that Laura and
George
and W are on the outs, and that he's resumed drinking, and that's causing her problems, and it's gone into a vicious circle, and that even one night she got so PO'd that she spent the night in a nearby hotel. I think the Mayflower, he said.
But. Well, we have a source in Washington who reported that to us in July, I believe, maybe late June, and the incident in question allegedly took place in May. And the word is that Laura got all PO'd and left him for the night. I have been unable to corroborate any of those details, but it makes an interesting piece of gossip.
Good juice, right?
Yeah. Well, and Ed, of course, I'll be at the supermarket on the way home tonight, and I'll invest in the Globe and see what kind of salacious details we can get.
Cool. Very good. Let it help you a little longer, because I can't deal with depression that well. But
distraction and the politics of personal destruction, you can get behind.
Amen.
All right. Thank you, Ed.
Bye-bye.
Lines are open for you. It's the Free Speech Zone, and you can call right now. Toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show. Nuclear. Ah, no. You're listening to the news, KRXA 540. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey is family-owned for more than 40 years. That's why when you walk in, you're treated so well. They know what they're doing. Excellent service and great product. They have the best in high-end liquor and an excellent selection of the finest wines. It's the real deal. At Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, you can call ahead and your order will be waiting for you. They treat you like family. Open every day 9 to 9 at 19 Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits ask you to please drink responsibly.
Hi there, KRXA listeners. This is Katie Couric. CBS News and I are so excited that 5:40 a.m. will be airing my notebook every weekday at 6:04 p.m. I'll be sharing my thoughts about politics, culture, and life in general with Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz right here on KRXA 5:40 a.m. So join me, Katie Couric, for Katie's Notebook right after the Peter B. Collins Show and CBS News at 6:04 in the evening from Monday through Friday on KRXA 5:40 a.m.
And good afternoon. Taking a look at traffic in the Monterey area. Let's start off in Salinas, Espinosa Road, west of Russell Road. We have a two-vehicle crash reportedly blocking lanes now. The CHP is on the scene. This is first reported just about 5:05. Salinas northbound on 101 before Main Street. Fender bender there. Left lane shut down at this point. Two vehicles involved in this crash. Santa Cruz, looks like no Santa Cruz Mountains on Highway 17. No major stalls or accidents at this point. And taking a look at this Highway 1, either direction looking good. No problems there as well. This report brought to you by Centrum. When it comes to multivitamins, it's not just the number of ingredients, but how they interact that counts. Centrum balances a combination of nutrients that bring out their full potential. Centrum is balanced and complete. I'm Mike McDowell with traffic on KRXA 540.
You know, the music matters.
Truth is, I thought it mattered. I thought that music mattered. But does it bollocks? Not compared to how people matter.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. And occasionally, I get knocked down. And then...
I get knocked down!
We're taking your calls in the free speech zone at 888-5 Peter B. And I hope you enjoy the little music breaks we play. They're primarily for the entertainment of your humble host. Email from Bob Rowley. I'm in Las Cruces, New Mexico, listening to your show on the KPHX stream. My 88-year-old mom lives in Phoenix, told me about your show. Thanks, Mom. I wish I could get my mom to listen on the stream. She's computer active, but the real player is too much for her. Anyway, Bob says, you're doing a fantastic job. I heard you say you were born in Ohio. We were too, Youngstown. Like you, we're almost ashamed to admit that we're originally from the Buckeye State. Thank you, Bob. Up next, we have John in Carmel Valley. Hello, John. You're on the air.
Hello, Peter. On Friday, I think it was, Ed Schultz had a caller who very...
forcefully argue. He was, I think, a Marine who had fought in Iraq, and he used some of the classic arguments that are being used now for staying and fighting in Iraq that were also used in Vietnam. And he said, one of the main things he said was, clearly it's better to fight them, meaning the terrorists or insurgents over there, than here.
Ah!
And, yeah,
sorry, that was the sound of our BS detector going off.
Yeah, but he went further than that. He said that we actually won in Vietnam, and that Americans simply walked away from that war because they got tired of it.
Hmm.
And he's fearful that that same thing is happening with Iraq. And the biggest part of the bogus part of that argument that we won in Vietnam and is that for all of those years, over 10 years that we were in that war, two different presidents, LBJ and Nixon, they always said, we will get out as soon as the government of South Vietnam can defend itself.
Yep.
Now, at one point, we had 575,000 troops there,
right,
in addition to South Vietnam's army.
Well, and a large contingent of CIA contractors.
Oh, we had plenty. If numbers were what counted, we had overwhelming ability.
We had boots on the ground and in the swamp.
We had them all over, and we should have won that if winning was attainable. What was the problem? The South Vietnamese government was not supported by the people. That's the same problem. It was a puppet regime or a mm-hmm. series, because there were a number of different regimes.
Sure.
And the same thing is the problem in both Iraq and Afghanistan. You wonder, what is it about this country, besides getting itself again in a protracted campaign, which, of course, Bush's father understood that one and wisely stayed out of going after Saddam right after that 91 Gulf War.
But, John, according to the Book of Dick, and that is the book that rules in the White House these days, the enduring lesson of Vietnam was that it caused a reduction in presidential power. And we must do everything, we must use every available means, including trampling the Constitution, daring the Supreme Court to rein us in, daring the Congress to try to stop us, to expand presidential powers. And they have done it to a degree that shocks even me.
Yeah, they have. It's just that anyone that looks at Vietnam honestly and analyzes what went on and what went wrong there can't help but just be shocked beyond imagining that we should be in two of them, because Bush has gotten us into Afghanistan, that near-forgotten one, which I'm glad you were discussing earlier.
Yep, 5 years ago, 2 weeks, 5 years and 2 weeks ago is when we launched the bombing there, and we forgot about it almost immediately. John, I got to jump,
okay.
Got a full switchboard.
Okay.
Thanks for your well-informed call. Always appreciated. Now to Ivan in Phoenix. Welcome, Ivan. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
That's Yvonne.
Yvonne? Well,
yes.
Hey, Matt, give me a Y. Yvonne, my apology, and welcome.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you for taking my call. I
oh,
love
don't do that to me. You were doing so well, Yvonne.
You just accepted so graciously from the other caller who I said, I got to do that. I want him to do that for me.
All right, it is time. Wait, Yvonne, it's time for the Peter B. Collins Apologia Chorus.
Peter B. Collins!
Oh, wait a minute. That's the wrong one. Hold on. Here we go. We got to get these computer files to work.
Excuse me.
All right. So what's
you are so cute.
What's up, Yvonne?
I was listening to what you were saying about how the Democrats, one of your callers said the Democrats just, why aren't they more up in arms and screaming about this with the voter fraud and everything? But they're not cut from the same fabric as these Republicans. These people have demonstrated themselves to be not above any kind of low and salacious. They'll do the most disgusting things to achieve their goals.
Oh, sure. They'll slander
an
opponent.
Democrats as a whole, they're just not, you know, they're for the people and for the good of the country. It really is, and these Republicans are just motivated by greed. And I would never just blanketly make that statement about a group like that, but it's just on and on and on.
Well,
and
let me just ask you to hang on here, because Billy Sunshine is on the next line.
Billy?
And he is a muscular progressive, a take-no-prisoners kind of guy. Right, Billy?
Hi, PBC. Yeah, I guess that's true.
You're not just one of those overly tolerant guys who's going to lay back and say, oh, I don't really want to fight.
No, I think that we got stuff worth fighting for, my friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Say hello to Yvonne, not Ivan.
Hello, Yvonne.
Well, hi there.
So, Yvonne, were you finished? Because I want to go to Billy, but I want to give you your due.
Well, you know, I appreciate that. See, that's the gentleman that you are.
Oh, my gosh.
But I'm going to sit back and just enjoy the rest of my ride home listening to your voice. And you go ahead and let Billy have it. But
all
I'll
right.
be calling again.
I appreciate that.
Yvonne.
And I will thank
not
you.
Ivan.
I will thank you for your call, Yvonne, when you do it again.
All right.
Bye-bye. Billy, what's on your mind?
Well, I just want to say that about the music thing, I do so enjoy picking out music for my show. That
yeah.
is fun.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, yeah. And I like to play a lot of music.
Mm-hmm.
So here's today's set. So I wanted to know what you think of this slogan for the presidential candidate for 2008.
All right.
I'm all about Obama.
I could live with that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
Obama, my friend.
Well, I need to see more, okay?
Well, let's
now,
see.
He's got a book coming out. He's going to make himself available for radio interviews. He's coming to San Francisco. And in fact, he's going to be 4 miles from my secret studio on the 25th of October.
You going?
And we're trying everything we can to get him to drop by here.
Oh, great.
And join us on the PBC show. I don't know if we'll be successful, but we're pulling out every string and all the stops.
Can you do a remote?
I could if he'll give me time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really, you know, because the bottom line is two things. Number one is people aren't just wanting the Democrats. They just really want difference completely. So they're going to be tired. You know, it's like, don't bring back Joe Biden.
Mm-hmm.
Don't bring back John Kerry, God forbid.
Yeah.
And he
just threw his hat out.
Excited.
Kerry just said over the weekend he thinks he's due another shot at
it. Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, please, somebody talk to the man. It was I'll say it again, every vote he got was an anybody but Bush vote. He brought nothing to the party.
Thanks, Billy. We got Ruth and Carlotta with a quick comment. Hi, Ruth.
Oh, hi, Peter. I just wanted to throw my sense in about the nuclear thing.
Yeah, how do you do it?
Well, people learn in different ways. Some are auditory learners where they sort of repeat what they hear most of.
Right.
Some people,
Ruth, I'm sorry, I'm out of
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is Hans Down, the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Listen to broadcast journalist Glenn Brooks as he is joined by health crusader Lisa LaRose and Western Feng Shui master Ann Christie for One Wisdom, a program designed to bring you conversations that invoke your creativity, playfulness, and well-being. Saturday from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A South Korean news agency quotes a government official as saying Seoul is aware of signs that North Korea might be preparing a second nuclear test. The Bush administration believes the first underground blast was much weaker than planned. And CBS News national security correspondent David Martin reports U.S. intelligence has picked up signs of activity at a North Korean test site.
Since their stated purpose is to develop a nuclear deterrent, and a nuclear deterrent is by definition one that works, the logic of the situation almost compels them to conduct another test to prove that they really have a bomb that works.
Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice says another test would further deepen the isolation of North Korea. She leaves tomorrow on a trip to Japan, South Korea, China, and Russia to talk about enforcing the U.N. sanctions against the sale of nuclear materials to the Pyongyang regime.
This week, I will discuss with nations in the region how to design a practical architecture for detecting and screening for such dangerous materials.
Rice says she's confident China will do its part to enforce the sanctions. Another very violent day in Iraq with more than 150 people murdered in sectarian violence, and the U.S. military death toll continues to rise. It's already 58 this month. Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki needed some long-distance hand-holding today. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller has that story.
During a 15-minute phone call with the Iraqi Prime Minister, President Bush tried to allay al-Maliki's concerns that U.S. support for his government may not last much longer. Spokesman Tony Snow described it this way.
There was a rumor that there were going to be attempts to replace him if certain things didn't happen in 2 months. And the president said, the rumors are not true. We support you.
But American patience seems to be running out, and even some leading Republicans now say a change in strategy will be warranted if there's not more progress soon. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
Despite concerns about health risks, the Pentagon says it will again require anthrax vaccinations for troops heading to dangerous parts of the world. The top Defense Department health official insists it's a safe and effective vaccine, but one lawyer who's been battling the program says he'll file another suit as soon as needles start going into arms. A 19-month-old Indianapolis child is in critical